Live from the International Agri Center in Tulare, California, it's the 52nd Annual World Ag Expo on 940 ESPN. Sponsored by E.M. Tharp, the transportation people, and Premier Valley Bank, local partners, limitless potential. And now, here is your host, Paul Leffler.
Hey, another beautiful day out here at the World Ag Expo. A little breezier than yesterday, maybe some more clouds. It might end up getting a little wetter. But it's day two of the biggest event of this kind in the world. 63 countries represented last year, all but one state. Over 100,000 people coming through Tulare County, and specifically Tulare, California, the 52nd World Ag Expo. And we're talking about the green V behind the red wave, how Fresno State Athletics, Fresno State as a school, and the great world of agriculture intersect and co-relate and help each other out. Got a lot of great guests on tap for you today. We're going to be live with you until 2 o'clock. Up first is my good friend Mark Q. Jones. He and I will call the basketball game together tonight at the Save Mart Center. That's a 7:30 tip against the Broncos of Boise State. You can get your tickets by calling 278-DOGS, or you never know, wander by our set out here, the E.M. Tharp Incorporated booth. If you see these beautiful Peterbilts, there's a yellow one, an orange one, a white one, a red one, another yellow one, and you see the big Bulldog-born, Bulldog-bed truck that drives Fresno State's equipment to every football road game all over the country. The Shannon brothers were kind enough to bring that out here, and it looks good. You might want to take your picture in front of that truck right out here at the Tulare World Ag Expo. So Coach Q's up first, then we're going to have a blast from the past. The most outstanding player of the 2008 College World Series, Tom Mendoza, the pride of Turlock, is going to hang out with us in a few minutes. We'll talk some softball with Bulldog coach Linda Garza. Their season already underway. They're just back from Hawaii, headed to Southern California this weekend. Burt Watts, the defensive coordinator for the Bulldog football team, is going to join us at noon. The one and only Pat Hill will be here at 12:30. At 1 o'clock, Terry Toomey, the athletic director. At 1:30, the volleyball coach, Jonathan Winder, did such a remarkable job this year in turning that team around. And one of his senior leaders from that team, Tulare's own, Taylor Slover, will be here in her hometown. And at 1:45, to wrap up our show today, we're going to have a very special guest on the phone. I can't tell you how special. I can't tell you his name because, you know, he might get derailed. They might stop him somewhere and not let him put his phone up to his ear and talk to us, but you're going to enjoy that, I'll just tell you. Maybe we'll give you some other hints along the way. Here's the deal. If you have a question for us, for any of the guests that I just mentioned, any of the guests we have tomorrow, like Dr. Castro from Fresno State coming our way, you can tweet those questions to us as long as you attach the hashtag AskAg. We're going to get it. That's pretty simple, right? AskAg. Use that hashtag. Throw your questions our way, and we'll get to it. One more note before we dive into all our special guests today. We had a young man yesterday from Riverdale FFA, Preston Rowland, who raised $11,000 for Central Valley Honor Flight. And after he shared that, our boss, Chris Pacheco, said, hey, I'm going to kick in another $250, and he's contributed quite a bit with his wife, Stacy, over the years. He said, I'm going to contribute $250 and challenge every other Bulldog alumni who's so moved to do the same. So if you hear that and you're at the Tulare World Ag Expo, come on by. We've got a box to take your donations. We have information about Central Valley Honor Flight if you'd like to send a veteran, if you know a veteran who should be going. Let's get our veterans to our memorials, and you can support that cause. All right, after all that, the man next to me is probably shivering by now. He's ready to exercise some muscles and get some words out of his mouth. The one and only Coach Mark Q. Jones, who everybody knows is a basketball guy. And if they listen to our broadcast, Coach Q., they know you're also an ag guy. You grew up in the ag industry. Tell us about your background with farming and cattle and why you were so excited to get out here to the World Ag Expo today.
Well, Paul, thank you for having me. I know that it would seem like a lot of odd deal to bring me out here because you wouldn't look at me and think ag, but born on a farm practically. You know, my dad, we farmed produce. We had onions, peppers, daikon, bok choy, we grew everything. We had 100 or 200 head at a time of pole Herefords. I looked something like the MVP of the World Series growing up.
Yeah, you and Tom Mendoza looked alike, huh?
Yeah, and I got to ask Big Tom about the bakery in Turlock. I think it's called the Old, it's by the university over there. Old Time Pastry, that's my spot when I go down there. See, us big guys, we understand that. And you go ask a farmer where the good food is at, he'll tell you or she'll tell you. You know, I grew up on the farm. My dad, you know, we had acreage in Carruthers, and we had vines, and my uncle still farms. He has almonds. But that was my life, was being on a farm you know, we had the cattle, but we also did a lot of produce, and we had a few permanent crops of the Thompson raisins. We did
right.
We went into the raisins. But, you know, I come from an ag family, and it's funny. It wasn't – I was country when country wasn't cool. You know what I mean?
And you're still country, and country is cool.
Yeah, I'm still country. And, if you know, I tell you right now, my father, if he was here today, he'd say, when are you going to get out of that, jump that outfit and start working, get out of those tennis shoes and get to work?
Well, you have your tennis shoes on today. You know, I went into my garage and – my stepdad, Dave, had given me some boots he was done with, and I found them today. I need them because it's going to be muddy out here if it starts raining a little bit. It's a little breezy right now, but all you need is a cup of coffee and one of those ribeye sandwiches, and you'll warm right up here at the World Ag Expo.
And I'm trying to find Ron, the guy who was driving me around earlier. Maybe he'll drop me off over there to get a rib. He tried to talk me into a New York strip steak, but all cattle guy, we know it's all about the ribeye, the marbling, Pablo.
Well... and this has been a meaty schedule for the Fresno State basketball team
yes.
this year. And, you know, they've probably taken a bigger bite out of it than a lot of people expected them to, with a first-year head coach, with having, you know, the guy that was a hometown favorite, maybe their best player, transfer to UTEP with the old coach. But to see what Justin Hutson has done with this team, to be in contention, tied for second place at 8-3 in the Mountain West, and they have a really important home game tonight. They have four home games left. In my mind... the one tonight is as tough as any of the rest. I think Air Force is going to be a challenge because Air Force is playing good basketball and they have better post players than usual. But Boise State tonight, especially since the Bulldogs beat them on the road, what should we expect? And why do folks need to show up at the St. Mark Center tonight at 7:30?
Well, I think it's going to be an exciting game. Most of the games, all the games that they've played have been very exciting. Isn't that something? We haven't really talked about that. I mean, just
they haven't all been close, but they've been excited.
Yeah, well, yes, definitely a big difference, you know. And when you talk about losing your best player, Bryson was the best player on the team. And for this team to rally around, I think Deshaun's the best leader. Deshaun and Braxton Huggins and Sam Bittner. I just think that this team wins every game differently. I mean, they got to make a bunch of shots, but... you look at how they play as a team, the adjustments this coach makes. That's one thing that we talk about that's a lot different with this staff, or maybe just because it's the players. He's got to find different – Coach Hutson's got to find different ways to win, and he's always adjusting in games. And it kind of makes it exciting to see players get challenged to play in different spots, to be asked to do different things. You know, Sam Bittner now is asked to drive to the hole and try to finish or you know, hit a three-point shot with a hand in his face. So every player out there has got to do more, and I think that's been the key to their success. And tonight that won't be any different. Boise State will run some really tough – well, first of all, you need to come out because it's Boise State.
Well, and that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean,
and it's hard to miss that when you roll up to the World League Expo because when you're going to park, what color are the guys who are directing traffic wearing?
Are they wearing their colors?
They're wearing orange and blue. And then you come here to the, you know, the E.M. Tharp Incorporated Golden State Peterbilt Showcase, and there's a bright orange Boise State colored truck right there. And doesn't it just remind you of that Mountain West Championship football game and the blue and orange versus the Bulldogs in red and white on that white carpet and the thrilling overtime victory? If anybody was following that, and I know you were,
yeah.
Don't you want to be there for the Bulldogs and the Broncos tonight?
I like what Congressman Nunez said yesterday when they teased him about they didn't beat him on the blue, the blue carpet. But
his colleague from Idaho?
Yeah. But look at Fresno State's big diesel over here. They outdoes them, and I think that's what the Dogs are going to do tonight. They're just going to show up and show out on the Boise State Broncos and ride those Broncos and lasso them down. That's what's going to happen. But, you know, just on the entertainment side, because it's Boise, you should be there. But basketball-wise, it's going to be a tough game, like all the games are tough. It'll be challenging because Boise has some size and they've got speed. They'll run a zone that can be challenging to attack for the Fresno State. Fresno State's got to hit shots. But come on out. It will be an exciting game. If you had a chance to see some of the UNLV game on Saturday, you know what I'm talking about. These guys shoot. They get up and down. They wiggle and jiggle, penetrate, create. They make it happen.
Wiggle and jiggle, penetrate, create. I mean, you can keep going with that riff. You know, if we had a beat behind it, that almost might be New Williams and his Red Wave song that we're supposed to hear one of these days.
I'm more Charlie Pride and Buck Owens.
You did say you were country. He's Coach Mark Q.
You
Jones.
Like twang.
He and I will call the basketball game tonight at the Save Mart Center. That's a 7:30 tip. Hope we can see you there at the arena. You're going to see some great Bulldogs here today. Standing by, we have Tom Mendoza, Linda Garza right after him, Pat Hill, Terry Toomey later, Burt Watts from the football team, and a mystery Bulldog alum who you don't want to miss at the end of our program.
Can I say one thing?
Huh?
Out of all the people you mentioned, you know who the toughest one is I wouldn't get in a fight with?
Who's that?
Coach Garza. I wouldn't mess with her if you paid me, man. She
good, man. She's making like her laugh now.
Hey, but it's true. She's tough. I watched her coach. I follow her, man. She's outstanding.
Well, and we'll get a taste of that toughness in a little bit. I'm wondering for you, Coach, because where we sit here,
yeah.
You know, we're right by Building C. We're
yes.
kind of in the north part of the expansive 2.5 million square foot International Agri Center with all these exhibitors from all over the country. And right across the way from us, you can actually drive a Massey Ferguson tractor. Are you going to do that before you leave?
No, because I went by my uncle's ranch last night, and he told me I had to spray, and he has a Massey Ferguson. I'm going to be on that Massey Ferguson enough as it is as soon as the sun comes out, and I got to get out there and spray all those weeds that are growing. He wasn't happy with me last night, so there's Massey. I might try to see if they'll give me a hat, you know, but I don't need to drive anything else.
You know, and I want to hit on a couple other basketball topics with you quickly, but,
yeah.
You know, you explained some of your background in ag.
Yeah.
What understanding does that give you of the potential that Fresno State has because of its relationship with ag, because of its reputation as one of the number one ag schools in the country, because of that giant green V that's behind us here as we talk about the green V behind the red wave? Do you see, looking ahead, other ways that Fresno State, specifically in athletics, can coexist with ag and help that be something that differentiates or makes Fresno State distinctive from all these other schools?
You know, I don't understand anything other than ag. I went to UC Davis as an ag. My mentor was one of the biggest farmers in the world in the 70s and 80s. Helped perfect a tomato picker for AB52. You know, most farmers love – you heard Congressman Nunez talk about basketball being a sport. People love a winner. But here's the thing with the farming community. You have to reach out to them, embrace them. They're just good old folks. They want to be involved. They want to have a part of it. And I think that that's the key to building this back up is creating new generations of Fresno State Bulldog fans. And this is the farming is what runs the valley. We feed the world. Look at what's happening out here. That could be happening at Save Mart Center. That could be happening at the Bulldog Stadium. It's the approach. And I think somewhere down the line that got lost. Or somehow another, you know, sports have changed. People are watching more TV. But you got to get folks out here and get them engaged. Why not have all this tractor stuff at the Save Mart Center and to have people going into a game? There's innovative ways. I know they're thinking of it. I'm not trying to do anyone else's job. But you have to find ways to get more folks out there. And I know when Pat Hill comes on today, he always is talking to me about things he did to get people engaged, feel a part of it. They want to take ownership of it. And, you know, I went to Davis. Nunez went to Cal Poly and Fresno State. Those are the three major ag schools in California. That's where everything – Davis is going to do a lot of research. Poly's going to do a lot of hands-on. Fresno's going to do a lot of growing. I mean, everybody knows that, and I think you can grow a big-time program here if we just get back to the to finding out the truck drivers, the tractor drivers, the people who are out there in our community want to be involved, and I like the way everything is going, and I like the coaches. It says a lot that they're all showing up here today. You know?
You bet. And I'm wondering if some of these folks of the World Ag Expo are going to show up at the Save Mart Center tonight. They're going to have time, a 7:30 tip. We'll look forward to it. If they're not there, hopefully they'll be listening right here on 940 ESPN. Coach Q, you're going to be back tomorrow to give us your breakdown on what happens tonight between Fresno State and Boise State. And then you can also give us a report on what you experienced walking around here at the World Ag Expo.
Yeah, I'm going to walk around. I'm definitely – me and the big fellow over here, I got the big D lineman. We're going to
Pat Bellany? Yeah.
Big Bellany and I, we're going to find a ribeye somewhere on me, and I'm going to donate to your honor flight, I believe, the work that you've done for the veterans. It's just been outstanding, Paul, and I think you've touched a lot of people through what you're doing, and I believe in you, and you're the Valley's finest. You are. You really are. I think you're the best. And I love working with you and working around ag and meeting the folks in ag has been great. But you're the top product.
Well, that means a lot to me, my friend. Thanks for your support and honored flight. Thanks to you as well. And we'll catch up tomorrow.
Sounds good.
We'll see you tonight.
See you tonight.
You'll hear plenty of us all night long with Bulldog basketball and a 7:30 tip-off at the Save Mart Center, 6:45 our tip-off show. Straight ahead, we're talking baseball. Wow, Coach, that's very generous of you. We'll put that in the honor flight box right now. Baseball season opener Friday night, 6:05, Pete Biden Field at Bob Bennett Stadium. Never has it been more exciting to be there in the last decade or so than when Tom Mendoza was swinging his stick. 10 years ago, he led the nation in homers. He was also the MVP of that World Series in 08. He joins us next from the World Ag Expo in Tulare. Come see us. Come say hello and keep it here on the home of the Bulldogs, 940 ESPN.
The 52nd Annual World Ag Expo, presented by E.M. Tharp, the transportation people, and Premier Valley Bank, local partners, limitless potential, continues on 940 ESPN. Once again, here's Paul Leffler.
Another beautiful day here at the World Ag Expo in Tulare, biggest event of its kind that happens annually. This is the 52nd year, 2.5 million square feet of exhibition, over 1,500 exhibitors, everything from scientific new remote control drone-like equipment. You have tractors that look like tanks. You have moving truck beds that walk your load right off the end of the truck and wherever it needs to go. They have some really incredible things to see around the World Ag Expo. But we're talking Bulldogs. We're talking about the green V behind the red wave. And we're going to hear from the softball coach, Linda Garza, in a bit. She's here. Pat Hill will join us later. Terry Toomey, the AD, and a mystery guest on the phone that you don't want to miss at the end of our time. But right now, we're joined by a guy that I can't believe it's been this long. I remember his freshman year, 2007, coming in from Turlock High School and just locking down third base. Tom Mendoza, you remember him as the most outstanding player of the national champion, underdogs to Wonder Dogs College World Series win in 2008. Led the nation in homers the next year. And finally, a decade later, he's done playing pro ball. And what are you doing with yourself these days, Tom?
You know, agriculture. Buying walnuts and almonds.
How'd that happen? How'd you get into ag? Were you kind of born into it?
I was kind of born into it. We had the old dairy back in, the Portuguese dairy. So,
yeah,
back in Turlock and went off and played baseball like most of the family did. And now back in it.
And one Mendoza is better than two. That's what I always say. So we have Tom's brother, Tim. And, Tim, I'm glad you're here because, you know, who else is going to keep this guy honest?
Somebody's got to do it. I'm glad I'm here to be over his shoulder and making sure keep him honest, make sure that nose doesn't grow that much.
How did you guys get along growing up?
We got along great, to be honest.
We're the Bash Brothers. We're Mark McGuire and Jose Canseco, that's why.
Yep.
When we play backyard baseball.
Well, and that's what I wanted to talk about. Because we talk about baseball, we talk about your roots in ag. And when we got to put together that book after you guys won the national championship, I got to hear some more stories about you. And there's actually a picture of you in there out in the field. And if I remember right, you're swinging a stick at a dirt clod. Is that how you guys used to play?
Oh, yeah. When we were irrigating, we had walnuts by the house and no better thing to either throw walnuts or dirt clods at each other.
What travels farther, Tim, a walnut or a dirt clod?
You got to be careful for the walnuts, that comebacker up the middle, that they don't explode on impact.
You don't want to take a walnut to... No, I won't say that.
Okay. Yeah.
And the dirt clods might just explode and go in your eyes, right?
Oh, yeah. Exactly, yep. No, very true. Yeah.
When did you know that your brother might have a chance to do something big in baseball?
Well, we used to always, we had a big yard at our old house, and we'd always play T-ball in the front yard, and we had, the driveway was the home run. If you hit it over the driveway, it would be the home run. I think I was 12, 13 maybe, so it gets Tom 9 and 10, and we were hitting it the exact same distance. So then, of course, you get that, you know, that brotherly competition, like, I got to hit it farther. I'm sitting there swinging as hard as I can, and he's just sitting there just swinging nice and easy. And mine are, you know, sky, pop flies going out. Tom's are just line drive, just getting pelted out there. So it's like, okay, well, how about I be the permanent hitter and you just try to be the permanent, you know, guy trying to rob the home runs. And after that, I mean, it was, you just see his career take off all through Little League, Senior League, high school, and obviously what he did at Fresno State. So that was, it was kind of early on.
Well, he didn't do much at Fresno State. I mean, he was only the all-time home run leader and led the country in homers as a junior and won the College World Series and got the big trophy for most outstanding player. Not too bad. But, you know, I missed a chance at the perfect follow-up question. I got to know, which one of you was McGuire and which one of you was Canseco?
I don't know. He liked Ricky Henderson, but I always was Big Mac. But then
whoever was bigger,
whoever had more steroids in him, to be honest. You're talking about them, not you guys.
Yeah,
not us. But we always, I remember we get in trouble because my dad had his one ton parked out there with the running lights on top, and either I think I broke one, and I always blame it on him. So he took a lot of heat for. And oh boy, was my dad upset whenever we hit that. And, but it was good. We got a spot to hit it, you know, dead center.
Well, I know there are a lot of people here at the World Ag Expo who are probably identifying with those stories. They probably did a lot of the same things, especially if they're out in the country or on a farm or a ranch.
You got to play anywhere.
And, Tim, you're wearing your, that's a really nice jacket, Fresno State Viticulture and Enology jacket. Both of you guys are working in the ag industry. Now, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do and why you enjoy this field?
I went to Fresno State also, graduated in 13. I got my viticulture degree. Viticulture more of the growing the grapes, enology more of the winemaking. A little bit too much chemistry for me for the enology, so I just stuck to the plant science side of it. But now I work for Vidal Company buying wine grapes. I love being out in the country, outside. The 100-degree heat doesn't bother me. The wind like this doesn't bother me. And it was a perfect opportunity. Like I said, I was with the winemaking side. I don't want to be cooped up in a lab playing mad scientist all day. I don't care if my name's on the back of the wine bottle. You know, I want to be outside getting the grapes and making sure that what goes into the wine bottle is the best that can be. So that's kind of, you know, didn't venture that far and, you know, still doing it today and loving it.
Right on. And Tom, for you, so you were drafted, made it to AAA. You know, big league baseball is a tough animal. Timing is everything. Prospects can pass you by. You can be in the wrong place at the wrong time. But you kept playing the game because you love it so much, and you finished indie ball last year.
Mm-hmm.
What told you it was finally time to hang that up and transition into the ag business? And tell us what you're doing now.
Well, they found some my vertebrae were fused together from birth, and they just found 30. So that was a pleasant surprise. No, I'm glad they found it now, not when I was 21, because I'd still be crying myself to sleep every day. You know, at least I got to fulfill a dream and pass, see the good, the very bad stuff, and the even uglier stuff from behind the closed doors that not all of us get to see. But you know, it was fun, and now it's agriculture. I went to school. Actually, I got drafted my junior year, and I went back and finished my degree in 2017, and I finished my degree and got in kinesiology. So that was my big step number one. I needed to get my degree before I started life after baseball, because that's very important. Not only to me, it should be very important to every student athlete, because without your degree, you really don't have much else to fall back on, unless, you know, your family had something, or your, you know, football, you become a coach or something. But I hate to break to you, not everybody's a coach. There's so many people in, you know, baseball or football, and only one person's a coach. So you have to have a fallback plan, and mine was go back to school, and then I was fortunate enough to have a family friend, John Arellano, and going with him and for his family, and Bayan approached me about 4 or 5 days when I got home and said, hey, you know, if there's an opportunity for you, sit back. It might not happen now. It's going to, you know, let us get this all ironed out and figured out, and now I have a business card, not a baseball card. My baseball card is my business card now, so it's perfect.
So you go around and you're dealing with growers or buyers or what?
No, we just get the nuts. We deal with the growers and bring them to facilitate them to where they would like to go, to the people who we buy for.
You know, it's too bad you didn't play for the Modesto Nuts. Then you could use that well, baseball card.
That was Modesto A's. I liked it better when they're the A's. You know?
Right.
That's growing up. It was always Modesto A's with peanut. Well,
right. you know, I have to ask the obvious question, because we're talking about Fresno State and ag and how they relate, the green V behind the red wave. Do you feel like growing up in a dairy family, in a family that's involved in the agriculture business, where if you're not working hard, you're not making it, you're certainly not successful. Did that help you in your quest in baseball and everything that you accomplished, the greatest moment in Fresno State baseball history? Can you trace some of that back to your roots in agriculture?
Yeah, because, I mean, being on a farm or being on a dairy, it's you're held responsible. There's accountability to be somewhere and do something, and there's a purpose to do something with, you know, whether it's an animal or you're irrigating, because if you let the water run out, it leads to something else. There's always, it's like on a pro baseball pro, a practice plan, there's everything's in order. Same thing when growing up. If you didn't do this, if you didn't mow the lawn, you didn't get your chore money, you can't do this. But, you know, we had Nintendo, the original, and then our big thing was N64. Oh, man, third grade, I remember Mom said, hey, we're going to go get the N64. Holy smokes, that changed my life. But we always were outside, though. We played outside. Yeah. We're not stuck behind a computer or, you know, playing everything now kids do. I think it's you need to be outside, be active, because they just don't make them like they used to, because now everybody wants everything handed to them. So the World Series didn't get handed to Fresno State. We as a team won it for everybody. And yep, the Green V is a very cool thing to play for, and I think it's one of the most prestigious things in college because of what we have in the Central Valley and how many people back it up and how big agriculture it is. People don't understand it, but it's a huge part of my life, and I'm glad I went to Fresno State, so it's part of me forever now.
Yeah, well, you're helping people understand it, and the season opens Friday night. The Diamond Dogs host Utah Valley for 4:05 Friday night, the season opener. I know I'm going to see you out at the yard a few times, and maybe we'll get you on the radio,
heck
too.
Yeah.
But I've talked to you plenty about Omaha and winning the ultimate prize in college baseball. I haven't talked to your brother about it.
He was there.
I know. So what was it like for you to see your brother and his teammates pull off the impossible? Nobody thought Fresno State could do that.
It was a blast. I mean, every year you go there, you see the LSU fans, whether they're there or not. And this year it was Fresno State, or that year it was Fresno State's turn. And especially at the old Rosenblatt and going through the parking lot and everything. I mean, you couldn't pass. If you turned down something there, it was like a slap in the face to everyone. So, I mean, if you left there hungry or thirsty, it was your own fault. And that was just before you got into the game. And depending on what game you had, whether it was the early game or the late game, I mean, it was, you know, a party, you know, 24/7 out there. But then actually making it into the stadium and seeing what Fresno State did, and I mean, every player. I mean, you could go through, you know, and highlight every player and what they did there. And, you know, fortunately for Tom, made some, you know, good defensive plays and you know, hit the ball a couple times out of the yard. And, you know, that was really special knowing, you know, like I said, came up from 12-year, you know, I was 12 and he was already hitting the ball farther than me. Now here he is on the World Series stage in front of national audience and just tearing it up. So it was really fun being there with the Fresno State crowd and everyone that was able to make it back to there. So it was really special.
Well, it's special for me to have you guys on today. Thanks so much for coming out. Enjoy the rest of the World Ag Expo, and we'll see you guys at Pete Biden Field at Bob Bennett Stadium.
Heck yeah, appreciate it, Paul.
Sounds good. Go Dogs.
All right, Tom Mendoza and Tim Mendoza here at the World Ag Expo in Tulare. We're back with softball coach Linda Garza after this. The Green V behind the red wave on the home of the Dogs, 940 ESPN.
The 52nd Annual World Ag Expo, presented by E.M. Tharp, the transportation people, and Premier Valley Bank, local partners, limitless potential, continues on 940 ESPN. Once again, here's Paul Leffler.
Time is just flying by. It's a little breezy out here in Tulare. The World Ag Expo 2019, 52nd year that the world, and I do mean the world, 63 different countries represented here last year. If you walk around, you'll hear different languages spoken. You'll see clothing from all over the world, and people from all over the world are getting a taste of what the Valley's all about and how good the food is here. Coach Linda Garza joins us now from the Bulldog softball team. Is it too early? You probably haven't eaten anything here yet, huh?
No, I actually stopped by the tri-tip station, so
you already hit it.
Super hungry, but I've heard about this ribeye steak that I need to go and take part in. So
you already had tri-tip, and you're going to have a ribeye?
I mean, we're going to figure it out.
Wow. See, I mean, if you're coaching and you're running, you do. I guess you could digest all that meat here in the Valley.
You don't need to tell everybody that.
You just did. Sorry, Coach. Well, I did the same thing. I walked by that grill right over there where the Boys and Girls Club of the Sequoias are grilling up some tri-tip. In fact, I just tweeted a picture of that. I think there's about 30 tri-tips on that grill. It is kind of hard to resist. Your softball team has already started. You played 5 games in Hawaii last weekend. Now you head down to Southern California this weekend. 3-2, and your losses were to UCLA, who's always a national championship contender, ranked number 1 or 2, depending on where you look, and the other to the host school, Hawaii, by a single run. So how'd you feel about your team coming out of that work, getting 5 games in right out of the gate?
You know, it's always a tough place when you head out to Paradise and to keep everybody focused. And we did that for a specific reason. It allows our athletes to experience something that they don't always get to do, as well as seeing how focused we can be. So we definitely saw some things that we were good at and we have some areas that we definitely need to get better at. But I loved our fight and our resiliency. You know, definitely wish we would have pulled off that last game there. But I'm proud of the fight that we had throughout the weekend.
How's your team going to be different this year? Compared to, you know, some folks listening may have been out to Margie Wright Diamond to watch you last year, and they'll get a chance to do that a little bit later on this year. Your home opener isn't until March the 7th with all these tournaments you're playing in. But what do you hope or maybe expect to be a little different or even better?
You know, I'm always proud of the way we play. I think we play the game really well in terms of we play some solid defense. It didn't really show up this past weekend, but that's usually something that we have to get in a groove on. Definitely confident that we're going to be able to score some runs. So we have some power at the plate, and we're hoping to hit some long balls, as well as some speed at the top of the lineup that I think we're going to be able to make some adjustments with. If we can't for some reason get the long ball going, we do have some tools that we can play the short game and get some runs in. And I'm proud of our pitching staff. You know, we're thin. We only have three pitchers right now on the roster. However, I'm completely confident that each of them are capable of 150 innings themselves, which is a lot. And Danielle East last year, I think, threw 180 for us. And so being able to have some help is going to be big. And so I think it's going to be a great season. I'm excited. It's going to take us a while till we get home in March.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely excited with what we have and the tools that I think we can use this season.
Well, and you mentioned the three pitchers. One of them is the Mountain West Pitcher of the Week, Kaylee Dulcini, who got some good innings in out there in Hawaii. You mentioned Danielle East. And you have a new pitcher this year. We know how good high school softball is in the Valley, especially in Clovis Unified, and Clovis High has such a tremendous tradition there. But you bring in Danielle Lung, and you threw her right into the fire out there on the islands, didn't you?
We did. Danielle Lung is definitely a Valley native. She is not afraid to have played in big stages. You know, she has three championships playing in Margie Wright Stadium. She's played in front of 1,300 people before, so it was one of those things that it's kind of a sink or swim. You got to put somebody out there and put them in a position that they can be successful, and she has some nasty movement, and so it's fun to see what she can do, and I'm excited for the next four seasons and her growing with Coach Cox, our pitching coach.
Yeah, four seasons. That's exciting to think about, especially when you see that potential as a freshman. I do want to mention, if you have a question for Coach Garza or any of the other guests that we have on today, we're with you till 2 o'clock with a phenomenal lineup. Pat Hill, Terry Toomey coming on later. Burt Watts from the football team will be here. Coach Winder from the volleyball team and one of his stars from right here in Tulare, Taylor Slover. If you have questions for any of those guests or the folks we have on tomorrow, get on Twitter, throw your question on there, and attach the hashtag AskAg. And we'll pass it along. That's pretty simple. Ask Ag, A-G. Maybe you have a question for Coach Garza about her team and this season. And maybe some folks are still getting to know you. Because in Fresno State land, you know, for many years, people knew who the coach was before the season started. I mean, you had Donna Pickle there for a long time. And then Margie comes in and wins a national championship and has the stadium named for her. And, you know, we had another coach briefly before you. And now you've been here a couple years. But you've always been here for you, right? You're from the Valley. You're a Fresno girl. So give folks a taste of your background, why it was so important for you or why it was such a dream job for you to come back home to Fresno, and maybe even touch a little bit on that big letter behind us, that green V, and what it represents for you.
I'm super proud to be a Valley native. That's one thing I'll never take away from me. I'm proud to always say where I'm from and where I grew up and how I was raised. I just, you know, was fortunate enough to grow up down the street, grew up at First and Bullard, went to Hoover High School, share the street Barstow with Fresno State, so was fortunate enough to be able to get to campus often and see games back when it used to be at the old field, and got to see great softball. And, you know, I didn't really realize how special Fresno State was, I think, until I left myself. You know, at the time, Fresno State was one of the top programs in the country, and I was recruited by Coach Wright. At that time, going away was a little bit important to me. So I went away to UNLV, but I remember always coming home and playing. We played in conference and being excited to see your name up in the lights. Just being able to play in a stadium that can have 3,000 to 5,000 people supporting something is just remarkable. And so, you know, I got into this profession and I spent 15 years away from Fresno and being away, and I've coached in the Big Ten, I've coached in the SEC, and, you know, I've been fortunate to go to all those different places. But there's only one Fresno State, and there's only one Valley V, and I'm proud to be part of the Red Wave. My family's always been part of the Red Wave. You know, both of my parents were field workers when they were young growing up in the Valley, so we take pride in our work. And so I grew up realizing that that was something that was pretty special. I love the diverse community that we have and the loyal support. You know, I definitely feel, you know, we have to win to deserve it here, And I do think sometimes we have some fair weather fans, but you know what? I'm going to tell you that when you win, there's nothing better than driving that bus home and being able to see the remarkable commitment that our Valley has for us. And whether that's baseball, whether that's softball, whether that's football or basketball or any of those things, you just can't separate that. And I think, you know, having been in the SEC and having been in the Big Ten, it reminds me of that college town feel. And yet you can do it on the West Coast. And I don't think many schools can talk about that.
I'm sure you've talked to Mike Batesel about that. That's his big recruiting pitch. He says Fresno's the last college town in California. And there's a lot of truth to that, because where else are you going to find a university athletic program that is that prominent in the community, that doesn't have those competing interests? You go to L.A., and it's not all Bruins, it's not all Trojans, it's certainly not all Titans or Anteaters or any of these other schools. But in the Valley, we do have that. Now, you talk about some of that, and a couple things occurred to me. One, the breezes we've had here in Tulare today are nothing for you if you played your college softball in Vegas for the Rebels. I was just by that field the other day. Two, if you grew up playing softball in Fresno, following Margie Wright's teams that were going to Oklahoma City on an annual basis, did you have some favorite Bulldog players when you were growing up?
Absolutely. You know, some off the top of my head, I remember Martha Knoffenzinger. I remember Carrie Deaver. Kim Marr, Julie Smith, you know, obviously, you know, Maureen Brady, when they were able to do what they did, Marcy Green. I still have all the baseball cards. I used to go down to Fashion Fair and go and get my autographs as a kid. And I take a lot of pride in that. I think that's something that's important. I always talk about the past. And, you know, it's who we are. It's why we're relevant on the map. You know, we've been able to get to 33 NCAA tournaments. There's only been 37 of them. And there's just very few sports that can say that. And it's us and UCLA and softball that can get to that NCAA tournament with that much consistency. And that's because we've had some strong Valley people that have competed on our roster, as well as some strong California ties that, you know, like I said, we're on the map. Football puts us on the map, and basketball does, and baseball and all those things make us relevant. And when you can walk into a family's home and talk about Fresno, it's pretty special. And we still have a community that comes out. To be able to lead the nation in California for attendance is pretty remarkable still for us.
Amen. She's softball coach Linda Garza. Her Bulldogs play their home opener March 7th against UCSB. They have a big tournament coming up in Southern California this weekend. We'll talk about that when we come back. If you have a question for her, use that hashtag AskAg. And I do have one more question before we hit the break. We'll talk about softball stuff and how much tougher it is now to be that NCAA tournament team.
Yes.
You talk about how frequently Fresno State's been there, so I want to talk about that. But I have a completely irrelevant question for you first. You mentioned Maureen Brady and rooting for her. And I have to wonder if there were some days at then Bulldog Diamond that you and little Tommy Brady were chasing after the same foul ball.
And you know, I somehow Giselle landed him. I don't know how I missed the boat somehow in the stands, but I definitely, you know, I remember reading, you know, the ESPN article a while back, you know, when he was being recruited and he was going to be a dual sport athlete, and I definitely believe that there's some special genes out there, and his niece is going to be an incredible softball player that I think is headed to UCLA.
Mm.
You know, but I think Maureen got tired of losing to UCLA in that national championship game, so there's just some things. But I appreciate, you know, all the work that Brady family has done and how we always seem to bring a Fresno tie to it.
That's right. You know, you can trace a lot of the world back to the Valley, and that's what's happening this weekend. The world is here in Tulare at the World Ag Expo. With your questions, use that hashtag AskAg on Twitter. We're back after this, brought to you with the green V behind the red wave by E.M. Tharp, the transportation people, and Premier Valley Bank. Local partners, limitless potential. More with Coach Garza after this on 940 ESPN.
The 52nd Annual World Ag Expo, presented by E.M. Tharp, the transportation people, and Premier Valley Bank. Local partners, limitless potential, continues on 940 ESPN. Once again, here's Paul Leffler.
Well, there's clouds overhead, but the stars are all out in Tulare at the World Ag Expo. And there's Coach Pat Hill. He'll be on with us a little later on at 12:30. Come say hello to him over here in Tulare at the World Ag Expo. And back by popular demand, Tom Mendoza, the most outstanding player of the 2008 College World Series, because somebody threw a question out on Twitter with the hashtag AskAg. Before that, I have to ask Coach Garza, Linda Garza of the Fresno State softball program, which is back in SoCal this weekend. In fact, their first game of that tournament is against Bulldog legend Laura Berg and her Oregon State Beavers. But Coach Garza, Where were you in 2008, and as a Fresno native, what did it mean to you to watch Tom Mendoza and those Diamond Dogs win it all?
Man, I remember trying to rally up the troops. I was at Purdue and had a barbecue at my house and had everybody over and calling my parents and just knowing how remarkable. I'd followed them earlier in the season, and, you know, they were kind of up and down, and being able to just see the team pull it off. And, you know, we talk about it a lot and getting hot at the right moment. And that's always a YouTube video that I'll pull up about a team that kind of went from underdogs to wonder dogs. And, you know, they made us so proud. It's fun. It was a fun thing to watch for all of us.
Amen. Tom, how many times have you heard stories? I mean, she was in the Midwest, in West Lafayette, Indiana, and she's going bananas for the Bulldogs. How many of those stories have you heard?
A bunch now. Now that I'm home more, a lot more people come up and say, I remember this. I'm like, yeah, it's 10 years ago. Thanks. I appreciate it. I know I'm getting a little older, but it's cool to hear the new stories and everything, so I appreciate him.
There was a Twitter question I mentioned, and it's from one of your former assistant coaches, and it may be a self-serving question here, but Pat Ware on Twitter with the hashtag AskAg wanted to know from Tom, who took you to dinner during spring training when you were with the A's?
It would be Patrick Ware, but he also took D-Rob with us. D-Rob was there, too, at the A's. Same
Dusty
time.
Robinson, yep, another yep, great Diamond yep. Dog.
From Bakersfield, California. Hey. Yep, Patrick took us. He was, with Washington then, I think?
He was at Washington State.
Yep.
That's right.
Yep.
Now he's back here in the Valley.
Yes, sir.
You have any questions for Coach Garza? You don't have to use the hashtag AskAg. I know you're not a big Twitter guy.
Yeah, you can tell, right? Lots of posts on that thing. I don't even know how to run it. My boss had to show me how to put something on there. I don't even know that stuff anymore.
You should go talk to Pat Hill. You might be able to teach him a thing or two about Twitter. Right, Coach? Oh, there he is. Yeah.
No, who would win, York or Fresno State?
Oh, man, that's a good battle. York College, you know, Ronnie Ariani, your boss. I don't know if I want to put you in a bad situation there, you know. Again, talk about it, the natives and the Valley ties and the places that people in the Valley get to get out and go, you know. It's just remarkable for us to be able to do it. But, you know, so we're talking about John Ariani, who's doing a great job and helping with the Dari Nursery. And you know, and so his sister actually played travel ball with me, and we're really good friends in the coaching industry, and she coaches at an NAIA school in Nebraska.
Yeah.
So I'm always afraid of what Ronnie's tricks might pull out, because I've had a lot of conversations of some weaknesses that we have, so I feel like she might be able to expose them out there on the field.
Yeah, maybe she ends up on your staff sometime.
Yeah, he would love to bring her back home.
Well, Tom, thanks for coming back for the cameo, man.
You.
Enjoy the rest of the World Ag Expo. I don't want to hold you if you need to get going.
No, this is pretty nice up here.
So, yeah, it is, right? We've got a great spot here thanks to E.M. Tharp Incorporated, the transportation people, and Premier Valley Bank, local partners, limitless potential. We're here till 2 o'clock, by the way. Many more guests to come, including Pat Hill, Bert Watts, Terry Toomey, and a former Bulldog baseball player like Tom, who's done decent since he left Fresno State. You're going to hear from him on the phone later on. You can imagine who that might be. But, Coach Garza, let's talk about this tournament you're going down to, Stacy Winsberg Invitational. You're going to play Oregon State and Bulldog legend Laura Berg. You're going to play Long Beach State, Cal Poly, UCLA for the second time, and the school that you used to coach before you came to Fresno State, UC Riverside. What are you looking forward to, and what do you expect?
You know, it's going to be a great opportunity. It's a challenge for us. I think Laura Berg always does a great job with the Beavers and always finds a way to put us with some good competition. So she has a veteran team, so that's kind of our first outing that we go up against. So we're going to do everything we can to put ourselves in good position to win, score some runs, and play some solid defense. And then we go and play Long Beach State, who always finds a way to get in the NCAA tournament and do a great job. And so, you know, we have our work cut out for us. And then UCLA, Cal Poly, another kind of local program that has some Valley people at it. And so
I imagine there are a lot of Cal Poly people at the World Ag Expo here today.
Absolutely. Yep. So we'll kind of, you know, this is a great tune-up for the season that we want to have. You know, our goal every single season is to go out and win the conference championship and to be prepared for the NCAA tournament. So the only way that we can do that is to go out and play against the best and to put ourselves in that position. And so we're going to use this weekend to do that. Hopefully we got better at some things that we wanted to work on this week. And this weather cooperates a little bit better so that we can be outside. If Pat Hill needs to be in the third base box once in a while, I might have him come out and talk to us.
I'm just wondering if you ever saw his UC Riverside Hall of Fame plaque on the wall when you were coaching there.
He's a remarkable man. I saw plenty of things that this man was able to do. I remember watching Wisconsin games and being able to, again, I was in Vegas and when they were able to pull some things off. But there's just some great people that have been across paths at Fresno State and some different areas, and I think that's just a great representation of what Fresno really is.
Amen. And we're going to get a whole half hour of Pat Hill Gold on the radio coming up at 12:30 today. So we look forward to that. It's been a while. And that's what everybody's been asking me about as I walk around the World Ag Expo. When's Coach Hill going to be here? Is Cameron coming? They love listening to those radio broadcasts. But I want to hear some more from Coach Garza. Maybe you do, too. If you have a question, use that hashtag AskAg. One thing Pat's talked about a lot is how BCS money changed college sports, not just football, because all these teams made millions on football, and they started pouring it into baseball and softball and women's basketball. You mentioned Fresno State's been to 33 of the 37 softball NCAA tournaments. Without making excuses or saying that, you know, it's an impossible quest, how much harder has it gotten for Fresno State to get into the NCAA tournament and to advance? And how do you overcome the chasm that's been built with those Power Five schools financially?
A lot of people don't understand the past and the amount of growth that our sport has had. As much as you see it on TV and every single game now from the NCAA tournament is completely televised, and that's something you just don't see. Our ratings are through the roof with softball. At the same time, it's created a path for a lot of teams that maybe didn't put so much commitment to it in the Power Five conferences. And so therefore, now that it's a marketing tool, they put a lot more money towards their sports and created some indoor facilities that they may not have always had. There's some stadiums. You know, Margie Wright Diamond's built in 1996. It was the first multi-million dollar stadium that anybody had put together for the sport of softball.
Yeah.
It still is one of the most beautiful places that obviously I've been. But now you have places that are putting $26 million into places. And, you know, it's just hard to keep up with that. And so, you know, not being a Power Five conference, there's usually only 6 to 8 at-large berth spots. So you start thinking about it. So when you start putting that 64 teams, if only 6 spots open it up, we're all fighting for the same spot. If Long Beach doesn't win their conference that season, or Fullerton, ourselves, or South Florida, UCF, all of us are in that boat of trying to get where we need to be. And so I think that's why it's always important for us to play a competitive schedule and put ourselves out there, show that we can compete with the top conferences, show that we can pull off some wins. But in recruiting and things like that, that national brand definitely, you know, it's hard for us to go and get. And so it makes it a little harder out recruiting. So we definitely sell our stadium. We sell what football was able to be and being the best football team in the state of California, being able to have some Pac-12 wins in there. And that brand is what we can use when we go into somebody's home and we show them who we are and what we're about. You know, every single season we talk about a championship. We talk about the NCAA tournament. Our job is to get into that Sweet 16 and make it into that Super Regionals.
Yeah.
And let's go and make that Wonder Dog, you know, type
right?
of season. I mean, that's really what we're all striving for. But it's definitely tough. The amount of money that separates, you know, the mid-majors to the powers, a lot of people don't understand that. Even as a Valley, just what that Fresno State football team was able to do. There's some differences between what Boise football has and what Fresno State football has. There's some separators in there. And a lot of people don't understand that part because we brand ourselves so well in the Valley. And so...
Well, and that potential is there. I think that's the issue. You don't want to draw attention to having less, but you want to do more with less. And that's what people like Pat Hill and Jeff Tedford and Mike Batesel and so many have been able to do. And those stellar seasons, I think, encourage you that it's possible here. So are there things that people listening right now can do? Are there ways that they can help you to take that program to another level and to maybe even get closer to that national brand you talked about in softball?
You know, being a part of Bulldog Foundation, helping with our scholarships and helping, you know, close the gap between what we have and what we need, you know, those are the things that we need. We need the support and any, you know, this is a great opportunity, being able to see all this agricultural and just investments that people are out here being a part of. You know, we take pride in that. And if we can do anything for any business out there, I think that's something that we need to connect the dots on. And we'll do anything we can as coaches because this is what we do and love, and we have to continuously grow. We need fans. We always need people to be loyal and to stay with us, help us with scholarships and do the things, because I think a lot of people have a conception that we're doing okay and that we kind of have it. And, we do the best job that we can do, but I definitely think Athletic Director Terry Thieme is doing an amazing job with helping us grow. And so we're going to continue doing everything we can as coaches to create a product that people in this valley are proud of.
Well, Coach, thanks so much for taking time during the season to come down to Tulare and see some folks and eat some tri-tip and some ribeye. safe drive home, and safe travels down south. Go get some wins.
Thank you. Thank you, and always go Dogs.
All right. She's Coach Linda Garza for the Bulldog softball team. We'll take a break, talk some football when we come back. When's the spring game going to be? When does spring football kick off? What does Coach Burt Watts, the defensive coordinator of one of the top defenses in the country, have to say about it? Coming up at 12:30, we'll hear from Pat Hill, the athletic director Terry Toomey at 1 o'clock, and more special guests to come. Come see us here at the World Ag Expo. We're in the E.M. Tharp Incorporated area. Look for all the...
Live from the International Agri Center in Tulare, California, it's the 52nd Annual World Ag Expo on 940 ESPN. Sponsored by E.M. Tharp, the transportation people, and Premier Valley Bank, local partners, limitless potential. And now, here is your host, Paul Leffler.
Time just flying by. We're on to another hour here at the World Ag Expo with you till 2 o'clock today and from 11 to 2 tomorrow. Still to come today, the one and only Pat Hill, who's making the rounds. You'll recognize him. He's got the Fu Manchu and a stylish hat on. Say hello. Give him a hard time. Tell him what you think of his work as a legendary radio broadcaster now. Terry Toomey, the athletic director, will join us at 1 o'clock. At 1:30, we have the Bulldog volleyball coach, Jonathan Winder, and Taylor Slover. And at 1:45, a special guest on the phone who is a name I'm sure you know and someone you're going to be pulling for in the upcoming Major League Baseball season. Right now, though, we have the privilege of welcoming Burt Watts to our big show here at the World Ag Expo. Burt is the defensive coordinator of one of the top defenses in college football this last year, the first Bulldog team to ever win 12 games in a season. Burt, let's talk ag here. How crazy is this setup here with 2.5 million square feet of farm equipment and technology and just over-the-top greatness? What's your impression so far?
Wow. Well, thanks for having me, Paul. This has been pretty amazing just walking through here. It's really a small city with how much is out here and the setup they have, so it's pretty impressive.
And, you know, I guess I have to ask this question, too, although I'm not expecting you to have gorged yourself on all the great cuisine because I know how well you take care of your body. I mean, if there were a competition for coaches in college football and who's in the best shape, you'd be right there with them. And that makes me wonder, when P.J. Fleck of Minnesota come, do you think you should race him down the ramp?
Well, there's no doubt I'm winning that race.
There
I'm
you go.
Right now. You know, the real test is going to be who can run up that ramp faster because – you know, he's run on level ground usually,
yeah.
And we like to make our challenges a little tougher than that, so we like to sprint up that ramp, and we'll see who can win that contest.
The gauntlet has been laid down, and that's the Bulldogs' home opener September 7th against the Golden Gophers. The reason I brought it up, I just had my first bite ever of the famous World Ag Expo ribeye sandwich, thanks to my friend Coach Q, who will be with us again tomorrow out here breaking down the basketball game that happens tonight, 7:30 at the St. Mark's Center, Fresno State, Boise State. Coach Q, thanks for the sandwich. That first bite was outstanding. So, Coach Watts, you guys are going to be taking out a bite out of a schedule that starts with USC, then you welcome Minnesota home, the target on your guys' back all year long because of what you've done the last 2 years. What should people realistically expect when you're going to have a new quarterback, when you have to replace three guys you depended on so heavily in the linebacking core? Where do you set your expectations?
Well, you know, it's really easy to let you get ahead of yourself when you look at the whole length of you know, from now to then. It's really important for us, just like we've done since we got here, and I think that's been a great strength of ours from the beginning, is we've never tried to anticipate, you know, things too far down the road and worry about what's ahead of us, but really focus on the present, focus on the now, you know, and what we need to do day to day. And going into our first season with Coach Tedford and the process that we took, we really haven't changed much of that process, you know, from the beginning of it. We've stayed true to that, and our players, and it was a great challenge this year, this past season, in staying on that course, because a lot of people, you know, telling our guys, you know, that they're doing well and praising them, and it's easy to get off track and think about, you know, futures wherever they might be, but our guys did an amazing job of staying focused on their day-to-day work and game-to-game work, and as long as we continue to do that and stay focused in what we're doing right now, and that's, you know, part of Coach Tedford's message with the guys, you know, as we go through is, you know, staying true to that and the work that we're doing right now, focusing, you know, what do we need to do today to get ready.
Well, today Bert Watts is here at the World Ag Expo with us. He's Fresno State's defensive coordinator. You knew how special that Bulldog D was this last year, and we'll talk about what it looks like next year. If you have a question for Coach Watts, send it our way on Twitter. Attach that hashtag, AskAg. We're at the World Ag Expo, so we made it simple for you. AskAg for any of our guests. Hashtag ASKAG. We'll pass those questions on for you. So you mentioned your staff's ability to stay in the present. And what impressed me, a lot of coaching staffs talk about that. But it's so hard to do, and it's so hard to keep your players dialed in to what's in front of them and not get ahead of themselves. But to me, it was so remarkable to see how disciplined your staff and your team were this last year. And I'm wondering if that's always the way it's been with Coach Tedford, or you've seen even him kind of change or get better at that over time. Because you played for him at Cal, and now you're on his staff here at Fresno State. When you think back to what it was like as a player and what you had to do to be able to play for him, what are the things you appreciated then, and what are the things that you've seen even get better over time with Coach Tedford?
Well, the thing that stood out to myself and the rest of my teammates when Coach Tedford first got to our place was just his ability to take care of all the details that were around us. You know, as a player or as a coach, sometimes you can get caught up in things that are out of your control when you feel like you need to control them. You know, you see things that maybe aren't being done right, and you start thinking, gosh, you know, I wish that could be done this way or that way, and your mind starts to wander off the task at hand, which is, you know, what is your specific job to do? And Coach has always been amazing at that as far as, you know, how detail-oriented he is and making sure that all those little things around the program are taken care of, you know, making sure that that we have enough food, making sure that, you know, we have the right equipment, making sure that everybody that's around us is doing things the right way. And he hasn't changed much off of that course. You know, I think he's gotten more efficient and been able to learn, obviously, through the years of how to do things the best ways. And that's shown up as probably the biggest difference is just, you know, his ability to be efficient in what he does like everybody else right now. It's kind of, as you look at his process and what he does day to day, you know, from our perspective, you know, there's not a lot of things that come up that he doesn't know how to deal with.
Well, and one thing I've seen in him, and you would know better than I do, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think part of, boy, the food just keeps coming to you here at the World Ag Expo. Thank you, Roger. Coach Watts, there's a ribeye sandwich right there, if you're interested.
I can smell it, and it smells delicious.
Well, it might have your name on it. But so with Coach Tedford, part of spending so much time on things that matter and every little detail that matters is also figuring out that you can't spend time on things that don't matter. How often do you see that with him, that he's just not going to waste his time on something if it's not going to make a difference?
Absolutely. You've got to pay attention to the big problems that matter. And, you know, there's lots of those little things that come up, you know, through the off season, through the season, that you can easily get off task when you start paying attention to those things, and you really have to kind of shake those things off and realize, you know, where our focus needs to be, and that really makes it easier on the rest of us, you know, because we start to learn from that, the players learn from that, and everybody keeps their focus where it should be.
If you have a question for Bert Watts, your Bulldog defensive coordinator for the football team, use Twitter and the hashtag AskAg. If you can think back that far to when you were playing and Coach Tedford took over that program at Cal, what was your first impression of him?
Wow. You know, when he first got there, it was complete control of the room. You know, there's and you know this after, you know, having to get to know him as well, is there's not a lot of doubt when he walks into a room of who's running the show.
Right.
And as a player, there's a lot of security in that. You know, when you know that man is in complete control of what's happening around you, it makes it easier for you to do your job and focus on what you need to do.
Has he softened it all over time? Do you know where the soft parts of him are that you can try to break through that exterior? You talk about him owning the room, and I'm not saying he's a tough guy or he's a meanie. He's an incredibly nice guy. But have you figured out those soft spots that maybe some other people don't see or that you only see with time spent?
Well, you know, the one thing that's great about Coach Tedford, and it always has been, is how he relates to his family, how he understands the importance and relationships with, you know, our families and then also the families of the players that are on the team. He's a family-first guy, and I think if there's any soft spot in him, it's his ability to – you know, be sensitive to all of our families and make sure that they're welcome and they can be around the program as much as possible. And, you know, for myself having two young kids, it's pretty awesome to know that they can be around whenever they need to be and feel like they're welcome when they do come.
Well, and I know you guys do maximize that because I've seen your wife running the stairs at Bulldog Stadium with a baby Bjorn. So that's killing two birds with one stone right there.
Oh yeah, Lindsay is she's going to get her work done no matter what.
We have a question here from one of our attendees of the World Ag Expo in Tulare, and again we're at the E.M. Tharp Incorporated setup near Building C in the northeast part of the complex, the massive complex. Look for all the colorful Peterbilt trucks. You can go even see your reflection in them. They're so shined up. But Raul Martinez has a question for you, Coach. He says, what advice would you give to a young defensive back going into college, in his case junior college? What's the best thing he should be paying attention to?
The best thing for guys that age is to train your eyes. As a defensive back, that is the number one thing. You know, there's footwork, obviously. There's technique. There's understanding your defensive scheme and those things. But if you can learn to train your eyes properly, that's going to be the key to success of making sure whether you're playing the safety position and you're reading the offensive line to the receivers from the quarterback, or you're playing on the perimeter as a cornerback or in man coverage, to understand that you need to keep your eyes on your man as long as possible before that ball shows up. And that's the thing that we train so much from the beginning when we get young men that come into our program, is to break those habits of everybody wants to look for that interception right away. Everybody wants to look for the ball. And the receivers and quarterbacks will take you to that ball a lot faster than if you're just staring at it.
Well, we saw that reflected in a secondary that was loaded with talent. Some of those guys are moving on. Tank Kelly to graduation, Mike Bell going to the NFL draft. But we'll talk to Coach Watts about what's coming back. What can you look forward to with the Bulldog defense in this new 2019 season? I can tell you that the spring preview at Bulldog Stadium will be April 13th. Circle that on your calendar. We'll talk to Coach Watts about what you can expect. And if there's a question you'd like him to answer, tweet it our way with the hashtag AskAg. Again, get on Twitter and put the hashtag AskAg. We'll be back right after this from Tulare and the World Ag Expo, brought to you by E.M. Tharp, the transportation people, and Premier Valley Bank. Local partners, limitless potential. This is the home of the Bulldogs, 940 ESPN.
The 52nd Annual World Ag Expo, presented by E.M. Tharp, the transportation people, and Premier Valley Bank. Local partners, limitless potential. Continues on 940 ESPN. Once again, here's Paul Leffler.
Well, we are back here at Tulare, the World Ag Expo. You know, it hasn't been a bad day at all. A little breezy. I haven't seen any rain whatsoever. The fans are having a great time. People from all over the world are here in our valley in Tulare. And we're telling you about it with the green V behind the red wave. A great lineup of guests. You've heard so many already. Still more to come tomorrow, including President Joseph Castro of Fresno State. We've got Pat Hill coming up at 12:30. Some more national champion Bulldogs and big names in the ag industry, and a big Bulldog name coming up at the end of our show today, too, that we're excited about. But right now, we've got a bonus guest because he works for us now. Pat Bellany was working for Burt Watts the last couple of years in the Bulldog football program. Now he works for 940 ESPN. Coach Watts, how gratifying was it to see a senior like Pat step up, earn playing time, and come through the way he did for your team? I mean, he came up with the ball and some key turnovers that helped your team put together the first 12-win season in school history.
You know, it's really been awesome. You know, and Pat's a young man that, you know, since when we first got there as a coaching staff, never questioned what we were asking him to do. You know, right from the beginning, he put his head down, he grinded, he did exactly what we were talking about earlier as far as taking it one day at a time. You know, wasn't in our office asking about, you know, what he needed to do. He just did it. Mm-hmm. And he got out there and kept his focus where it should be. And over the time we had with him, it showed up, and he showed up. And it was awesome to see. And that's part of, you know, the greatest thing about coaching is you get to see that growth in a young man like Pat, where, you know, they prove to not only themselves but the rest of this team and this community, you know, that they're a real true Bulldog.
Well, I wanted him to come on because I knew you'd have some good things to say about what big number 94 did for your team this year. But I also wanted Pat to tell us about you, because Pat, move that microphone a little closer to your mouth there. You know, it's never easy as a football player when there's coaching changes, and you're recruited by Coach DeRuiter's staff, Coach Tedford's staff takes over. You've got Coach Steinauer running the show the first year, and then last year you've got a new defensive coordinator in Coach Watts.
Yeah.
What did you see from him? What did he do that helped your guys' defense thrive the way it did and just dominate the way you did with top 10 and top 20 rankings in the country in almost every category?
Well, about Coach Watts, he brings a lot of energy. So, you know, bringing the energy to the defense, you know, being able to teach us technique, you know, teach us how to run to the ball and all that stuff. It's just great things that he's taught us, that he's already taught us when Coach O was still here. So just him, you know, being the step, you know, stepping stone for us to build around. And he continued to, you know, like I said, you know, continue to help us, push us, continue like how we did our, you know, championship run, just by how he had the energy on the field and all that.
Now, do you know who Fresno State's playing in basketball today?
Boise. Yeah.
What was that like, the Mountain West Championship game in the snow?
Oh, man. That game was amazing, honestly. And for me, being a kid from Florida, it was different playing in the snow because I've never played in the snow before, something I had to get used to. But it was honestly a great experience, you know, to rally around, come as a team, come, you know, as, you know, just bringing everything together. You know, it came down to the wire. And, you know, just everybody believing in each other. So, you know, just being able to believe and continue, and obviously, you know, not listening to the outside noise about never being Boise on a blue turf. That's nothing we listen to. So we just continue to play on, and it just was a great experience to just play on that field and, you know, come out champions.
We're talking to defensive coordinator and Burt Watts, and defensive coordinator Burt Watts and defensive lineman Pat Bellany, who's now finished with his Bulldog career and training for Pro Day, part of that so exciting win in the Mountain West Championship game in snowy Boise, and a bowl win over Arizona State. For you, Coach Watts, that bowl game, I mean, that championship game against Boise State, you'd been there earlier in the year. It had been a fourth-quarter ball game. You guys had it slip away. How intense of an atmosphere was that, and what do you think it was about your team that put you over the top in overtime to vanquish those demons and everything that Pat talked about with what people were talking about they can't talk about anymore?
Yeah, that was definitely nice to stop those conversations going on. But, you know, our group going into that second game, there was no doubt as we went through all of our week of practice, went through our Friday night walkthroughs, there was a different level of focus and a mentality where we knew that they wouldn't be denied. And it was, Pat, you can disagree with me, but that was the best Friday walkthrough we've ever had.
I agree.
It was the communication, the focus, and we actually took our guys out in whatever the temperature was that night, that Friday night. We didn't sit in the warm hotel room. We went out in the cold, and that was part of that was we wanted our guys to feel what it was going to be like, you know, what that temperature was going to be like at game time. And that was when we were going through that walkthrough, so that when we got out there the next night, it wasn't anything different from what we'd done before. We had to get out there and communicate in that weather, and so we did the same thing when we got out there on game day. So, and I think that mentality went through the whole game. You know, when you watch that game and you study that game afterwards, you can see, you know, the plays that were made. You know, were very close some plays to becoming big plays that could have changed the game, and guys just put in that extra little bit to get it done.
Yeah, you guys were pretty hard to miss in the parking lot because there's just a big cloud of visible breath coming up from the parking lot. It was so close, so cold there at the Red Lion in Boise back at the start of December. What a season it was for the Bulldog footballers, 12-2. But now you move on to 2019. The season starts August 31st at the L.A. Coliseum against the Trojans. But you guys have spring ball coming up next month. The spring preview will be April 13th. And I'm sure for you as the defensive coordinator, not only do you have to find a way to replace the snaps guys like Pat played on the D-line and some in the secondary, but, man, when you have three linebackers like you had in George Helmuth and James Bailey and Jeff Allison in the middle all moving on, what can we expect from that unit? And who are some of the guys who might step up and try to fill those shoes?
Well, definitely a hard group to replace, you know, not just in their ability to make plays on the field, but in their ability to communicate and be leaders of the defense, which you know, your linebacker group, you always want those guys to be that way because, you know, they're in the middle of the D-line and the secondary, and they're the conduit between, you know, those two groups, and so it's important that they have that type of leadership and ability to communicate. So definitely going to miss those guys. We wish them the best, you know, in their futures, you know, but now as we move on and we start looking at, you know, some of those guys that started to get reps, you know, towards the end of the season, you know, some local guys like Aaron Mosby and Shirley King and, you know, Justin Rice, who's another one that that redshirted last year, but he'll be coming back too at that position. And then, you know, with Michael Walker, who's been kind of a hybrid guy for us, you know, he's going to help us, you know, all over the field, wherever we can put him. So, you know, between, you know, some of those young guys and an experienced guy like Michael, who's made a lot of plays, who we know can line up on the line of scrimmage or line up in the backfield like he did at times this year, I'm excited to see what turns out after the spring.
Pat, did you know Michael Walker was going to have that kind of season? I mean, you were with him in those D-line meetings when he was you know, sitting out. Well, maybe he was doing some linebacker then, but going into the season, did you have any idea he'd become the playmaker he was?
I actually did. I believed it. He also believed it himself. I mean, if you know Michael Walker, he's one of those guys who, if he said he's going to do it, he's going to do it. So, I mean, he worked. He worked in the off season, so you could see that he worked. He grind. He was always on time, and you could just tell, like, he was going to be one of those guys, key guys for us, actually. Like, he was on every play, every stunt for us that we needed, and he came through, communicated everything that we needed him to do. He's done it.
Well, you talk about the local talent you have at linebacker, coach, and I wonder, not to put you on the spot, but I'm just thinking, we had Troy Steiner here yesterday, and he was talking about Josh Hokett and what a great chance he has to be a wrestling All-American this year. Have you guys figured out yet what you're going to do with Josh Hokett next year? Or is there like a – you guys play cards to see if offense gets him or defense gets him or both?
We'll take him if we can get him. There's no doubt about that. You know, Josh is an electric athlete and an extreme competitor. My son and I just went and watched him wrestle against Wyoming, and that was really fun to see a couple weeks ago and see him get after it on the mat and watch him. We'd watched him last year too, so – I know wherever he ends up, he's going to have some success.
So I know you're not going to give it away just like that. Pat Hill over there has said that he thinks he could be a great defensive end because, you know, his center of gravity and how he can change direction so quickly on the D-line. He played linebacker before. Are you ever find, is it, maybe this is the way to ask it, how unique is a guy like that, that his position isn't obvious because he's so versatile? Because sometimes guys play a position their whole life and you just assume that's who he is. Have you ever been in a spot where you step back and then you see something you never saw before because you're opening it up to other possibilities?
You know, I don't know if I've seen a guy like Josh in the sense of his ability and his athleticism. And I think what really shows up is, you know, the instinct that he has. And the nice thing is as a running back, and we compared the same thing when I was coaching linebackers, as being a linebacker, it's finding space. It's finding that hole and then accelerating to contact or to avoid contact as a running back might. But Josh kind of accelerated to contact as a running back too. So,
yeah, he did.
You know, I think that they're very mirrored in the talent that you need to play either of those positions. So, you know, I know he'll be successful in either one.
Well, you know, I'd ask you about the quarterback position, but your job in the spring is going to be making those quarterbacks' lives really difficult. You're not going to take it easy on them, are you?
No. We definitely won't. You know, we'll like we do normally on defense, we'll have multiple looks that they'll have to evaluate. But, you know, it'll be really fun because anytime, you know, you have so many positions that are up for grabs and you have guys competing, it makes that energy every practice in spring extremely high, and that makes it fun for us because, you know, it's easy to coach when guys have great energy, and that'll be fun to watch
when they really want it. And maybe we'll conclude with this as we get ready for Pat Hill to join our stage here at the World Ag Expo in a moment. I should ask you, Pat, because you're in the trenches with all those other guys, young and old, on the D-line. Are there some young men that you think Bulldog fans haven't seen a whole lot of from yet that in 2019 in the fall you think they're going to make a name for themselves?
On the D-line right now, Isaiah Johnson for sure. I think, you know, he's a young kid who came in early as a freshman last year who could make some real real big noise for the Fresno State fans. So him coming off the edge, I think for a young guy, he could show out his talents.
He got his speed from watching you, right?
No.
Well, guys, you're great sports. Pat Bellany, Burt Watts, thanks so much for taking time and enjoy the World Ag Expo.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
Burt Watts, Patrick Bellany from the Bulldog football team. Up next, a guy who ran that Bulldog football team for 15 years, runs our broadcast now, and came up with that big, giant green V behind us, at least introduced it to you on national TV, wherever you were in the country back then. Pat Hill coming on the program next. Come say hello here at the World Ag Expo in Tulare, and keep it here on 940 ESPN.
The 52nd Annual World Ag Expo, presented by E.M. Tharp, the transportation people, and Premier Valley Bank, local partners, limitless potential, continues on 940 ESPN. Once again, here's Paul Leffler.
Well, we have quite a list of phenomenal guests joining us on our stage here at the E.M. Tharp Incorporated Golden State Peterbilt area of the World Ag Expo in Tulare. We're here tomorrow as well from 11 to 2. Our guests tomorrow include the president of Fresno State, Dr. Joseph Castro. At 1 o'clock, we have the athletic director, Terry Toomey, jumping aboard. But right now, the man everybody's been asking me about everywhere I go at the World Ag Expo, when is Coach Hill going to be here? And he is here right now.
Yeah, there's a line. There's a line forming. There's a, see that little truck coming up with all those people in it?
That's right. They're looking for you.
Yeah.
Well, did you look behind us, Coach? Well, this tent's blocking it a little bit today because we might have rain, but it says the green V behind the red wave, and it's got that giant green V. And for a lot of young people, they know nothing other than the green V. It's always been there. They get it. They realize that it represents agriculture and so much more than just Bulldog athletics. But why don't you tell us the story of where that green V came from? It's been a while.
Well, when I came to Fresno, I thought that we needed something to unite our community. And first of all, I knew that for us to be successful from a financial standpoint, we had to be a lot like the Green Bay Packers. We had to be community owned. We weren't going to have the budget available to us by the university or by the conference. So that was the first concept. But the second concept that I thought was the most important, they always talked about the San Joaquin Valley. And I knew I wanted to recruit the valley from Bakersfield to Sacramento, which is the San Joaquin Valley.
Right.
So we took the green V and put the red V inside of it, and it came out on the helmet the first game in 1997 against Portland State. And a lot of people really didn't know what that meant, but over time and over all those national TV games, if you go back and listen to any broadcast, always emphasized in those broadcasts were the agricultural riches of the valley, and how we represented the valley and the farmers and ag in the San Joaquin Valley. And I think that's something that's got to be rekindled.
Yeah.
I think it's lost a little momentum. I know when Thomas Bay and those people got there, they sort of poo-pooed that out a little bit. But I think now with Mr. Toomey in there and Mr. Castro and Tim in fundraising, they understand how important the valley is, and I think there's going to be a re-emphasis in publicizing that, you know, that is important. That is the lifeblood of Fresno State University.
No doubt, and it's certainly being rekindled here at the World Ag Expo. I mean, that green V behind us is about 10 feet tall on the banner, the green V behind the red wave, because agriculture does make the valley go, feeds the world, employs so many people, and fuels success at Fresno State.
Well, I'll tell you
State
what else it did. It built buildings.
Yeah.
It built practice fields. It helped put turf and stadium. It added on to the Duncan building. Close to $18 million were raised, and a lot of it came through our ag community.
Well, and I'm curious, if you go back to 1997, when that green V first went on the helmet, were there some people who thought you were crazy, who didn't think you should do it, who told you, nah, that, you know, that's not red or that's not a Bulldog, we don't need that on there?
Well, it had nothing to do with the school, a lot of people told me, but I said it has everything to do with the school. If you really think about it, it has everything to do with the school.
Yep.
We are an agricultural school. We are in the breadbasket of the most fertile agricultural land in the nation, and that's what it's all about. Ag is what it's all about. And the toughness of the people that work in agriculture, we wanted to reflect in our football team.
Well, and I think that's why it was so genius. This is just my own opinion, because it goes beyond Fresno State alumni. It goes to a whole industry, which is
right,
the biggest industry in our area. And there are people that never might never have anything to do with Fresno State who, when you say, hey, we're representing you, too, and that green V on our helmet is because we understand you, we value you, we want you to be on our team. That's what it did. And I don't know about you. I'm sure it's worse for you. But I go places, and if people, you know, here I'm connected with Fresno State or they see a Bulldog logo, they say, oh, you're the ones with the green V on your helmet, right? The green V's for the Valley. They tell you everything that that V was telling them.
Well, you know, and I wanted to license it. I wanted people to have it on their produce. You know, I remember talking to the Smitkamp family once, and they say, I don't know why they call them Vidalian peaches from Georgia, because most of those peaches are coming from right here in the Central Valley. And, you know, it's true. You know, if they talk about wine grapes coming from Napa Valley, where there's a lot of wine grapes right here in this valley, and people didn't understand that, and I talk about that all the time, and I remember one big controversial item during my time is when we were having problems with water. You know, I wanted to shade the green V to sort of brownish as a symbol to stand behind our farmers, and that didn't go through with our administration at that time. But I thought it would be a great cause. I thought it would have been really good.
You know, yesterday we had Andy Bennett.
But I was a little bit of a rebel, I guess.
Pat Hill, rebel? And he did coach at UNLV for a while, but I don't think that's what he's talking about.
Long time ago.
Andy Bennett was with us yesterday, your former strength coach. Great
awesome
guy, still at the university.
And Moses Harris was his assistant, who has now won his third Super Bowl ring with the Patriots. He's the head strength coach for the New England Patriots, Fresno State guy. And then Cole Popovich,
yep,
from Yosemite High School, who played offensive line at Fresno State, got his second Super Bowl ring as the assistant offensive line coach. So,
and I always look for those guys
when
the Patriots are on, yeah. And we had former Patriot Stephen Spock here yesterday, too, with these guys. But Andy Bennett was joined by Roger Flugel, who I know, well, he's standing right there. You saw him already. They told the story about chocolate milk and how that became your recovery drink. And Roger's been so involved,
right,
with Bulldog Sports through the idea of the Green V. But
and that,
Andy,
we got to give a shout-out to Producers Dairy. These are the guys that brought it over.
Well, and I got to enjoy some Producers Dairy chocolate milk here yesterday. It's delicious as ever. Thank you to the Shahadi family and Producers Dairy for that.
Two of the Shahadis live in my neighborhood now.
Yeah, you don't hit golf balls into their yard, do you?
No, I can't hit it that far. He's right down by the green. I try to get it near the green.
Well, the reason I brought up Andy is he has gotten involved on Twitter. We're telling you, if you have a question for Coach Hill or any of our other guests, like Terry Toomey coming up at 1 o'clock, tweet your questions with the hashtag AskAg. So I'm sure Andy's got a great question for you, right?
Well, you know, I used to take all my calls live, if you remember.
I do.
There was no sugarcoating. I hope it's a tough question. I used to have people call in. It was amazing. Some of the, I mean, I
was right there with you, Coach.
Those were the toughest Mondays of my life.
Yes, they were. But it built character.
Yeah.
There were a lot of characters. So here's Andy's question. He says, please ask Coach Hill to say, eat your breakfast for all his former players and staff.
Well, that was the one meal that I made the players eat, and that's when we'd meet with them from 6:30 till about 7:30 in the morning in the RDH, and that's when we'd go over academics with them before they'd start the day, and big emphasis was to eat your breakfast.
Yeah.
And they like to hear me say breakfast. I still get a lot of, you know, I wanted them to be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed at breakfast and eat their breakfast, and I made sure that we stood over and made sure they ate, because that was the only meal they ate. And
uh-huh.
That was 4 days a week. We didn't have that training table like they do now. We did for a while until Thomas came, and then they wiped that out. But that wasn't coming out of the athletic department. That was all fundraised.
Well, yeah, and maybe that's something we could talk about, too. We hit on this a little bit with Andy and Roger, since we're the green V behind the red wave, and how this enormous agriculture industry can partner with Fresno State and fuel success for Fresno State. I know one thing you were always passionate about was trying to find a way to connect the best produce in the world, the healthiest food in the world, with student-athletes who need that kind of fuel for your bodies. If budget was not an issue, if red tape wasn't an issue, what do you envision? What would be the best, you know, symbiotic relationship between ag and Fresno State athletics?
Well, I think it's there now. I know that we get a lot of nuts, you know, almonds and things like that, which is high in protein, and that comes from our farmers here in the valley. The milk comes from our farmers in the valley. The training table that Jeff's got now is, you know, I don't know if you've been in there to eat it. It's outstanding. Players are eating better. The nutrition is greater. And I think you're going to see great benefits come out of that. What they're doing at Fresno State with football right now is booming. Kids would eat it, bananas, peaches, apples. You know, we didn't have we had a few years of training table. Our best years were 2000 through 2005 as far as just development of football players, and that was the years we had training table. And now that they're on training table, I think you'll see great benefits from it.
Well, and we can talk about that. We can talk about anything you want to talk about with the one and only Pat Hill. If you've been itching to ask him a question, here's your chance. Use Twitter and the hashtag AskAg. AskAG. Ag. Throw that on Twitter, and we'll throw it at him when we come back. Remember when they did
live calls? What happened to those live calls, man? I mean, I used to have a show my first 2 years where I'd have to sit in a parking lot after the game and take head-on calls, and there was nobody censoring those things.
No, some of them were pretty vicious. You're not going to have to deal with that today.
Oh, no, I like that. You know, it's been a while since I've had to do that.
It toughens you up a little
bit. If they call in.
I think Coach Hill is inviting you to throw your best question, your toughest question at him on Twitter. So fire away with the hashtag AskAg. He's with us till 1 o'clock. That's when Terry Toomey takes over.
And I can answer the Boise question right now. We never lost him. We just ran out of time.
Well, and
that was a Tim Simons line.
And we have till 2 o'clock today, so there's plenty of time here on the radio.
I'm not till 2.
You're till 1 o'clock.
Yeah, good.
So we won't run out of time until 1 o'clock with Coach Hill. We'll take a break right now. If you have questions for him, the hashtag AskAg.
The 52nd Annual World Ag Expo, presented by E.M. Tharp, the transportation people, and Premier Valley Bank. Local partners, limitless potential. Continues on 940 ESPN. Once again, here's Paul Leffler.
Well, time flies when you're having fun and you're with good people, and it's been no shortage of great people throughout our couple days here at the World Ag Expo. We still have tomorrow to come here from 11 to 2 mañana. Coming up at the top of the hour, Terry Toomey, the Bulldog Athletic Director, will join us. If you have a question you'd like us to ask him, tweet it our way with the hashtag AskAg. I've got the next 15 minutes with Pat Hill, and then, yes, a reminder, you need to tune in till the end of our show at 2 o'clock, because the last 15 minutes or so, we're going to have a special guest whose name I haven't revealed yet, but he probably would have been a pretty good college football player.
I saw his name right there. I'm not going to say anything, Paul.
You can keep a secret?
I can keep a secret.
All right. Fair enough. He's Pat Hill. You know that. You listen to us all football season long. So many of the folks here at the World Ag Expo, Pat, have been telling me how much they love hearing you and Cameron on the air because you're so knowledgeable, you're so passionate, and you have so much fun. And I know we're going to have fun in 2019, a schedule that starts at the Coliseum against SC. You have a little history there. And then opens at home against P.J. Fleck and what I think is going to be a really talented Minnesota team that finished
They're going to be better than SC, I think.
I'm with you. I agree with you.
That'll be our toughest football game. From not only a game standpoint, but from a physical standpoint. At the end of the year, when they pounded Wisconsin, I watched that game. They were impressive.
Well, and I knew we couldn't do this show down here and call it the green V behind the red wave unless we had Pat Hill, who put the green V on every helmet and made it a household image across America. So it's such a great thing. And I don't know if you caught any of the show yesterday, Pat, but one of your favorite Bulldog coaches, Natalie Benson, was here from the women's water polo program.
Oh, she's awesome.
And I asked her about the green V and, you know, jokingly said, where do you put that on a water polo uniform? And she had a good answer. They have it, you know, right back here in the small of their back on those suits. But then she told us what it means to her, and it was such a powerful explanation. If you didn't hear that yesterday, you can find it in the podcast version at 940ESPNFresno.com. But she talked about how it gives her players something beyond Fresno and Fresno State to play for and what it signifies and the hard work it takes to succeed in agriculture. And, I mean, she said it better than I ever could, and if you haven't heard it, you'll love hearing it.
Well, that was part of the V, and the Valley and the agriculture is the toughness it takes to be in that industry, because it is a tough industry and not many people survive it. The ones that do have great success, and thank God we got people that are tough enough to stick with it.
You know, it's too bad Logan Mankins doesn't have a V in his name, huh? Because he kind of lives that mentality.
Yeah, Logan Mankins, he's a special guy. He's that night of the Hall of Fame, his speech was great with the tractor behind him on the wall in the picture.
His dad brought it home for him. Stephen Spock was here yesterday, and he told a story I had never heard before, because, you know, Stephen played briefly at Mariposa High before he came down the mountain to Clovis. And he talked about how he got moved up to varsity before Logan did. And then the next camp, they had them go one-on-one in a drill, and Logan knocked him on his butt, and the rest was history. Had you ever heard that story?
No, but I knew he had been there. But, you know, Logan Menkins was only about 6'2 and a half, 235 when he got to us. I mean, he wasn't a full-grown man when he got there. He didn't have any stars by his name either, by the way.
He's got a few of them now,
yeah.
A few rings and a lot of hardware. That's the familiar voice of Pat Hill, and you've got another 10 minutes if you want to throw a question at him on Twitter with that hashtag.
They might want to know about the hot dog races for next year.
Well, we missed an opportunity. You could have had the ribeye race at the World Ag Expo.
You know, I'd like to change those hot dog races, to tell you the truth.
What do you want to do?
Well, make our own hot dog races. You know, have them going through pits of alligators. And,
yeah?
And, you know, some of the hot dogs get eaten on the way to the finish line. I mean, make this thing exciting. I don't know if that's possible.
You had all your money on this one, and he got consumed.
Yeah, he got
the finish line.
Yeah.
Well, and I know your agent has been fielding calls from other stadiums that want you to come do the hot dog race.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's, you know, I'm glad you brought that up. Terry Toomey's right there. He's on next. We'll make sure you talk to him.
I'm going to tell you, number 40, Terry Toomey, that was his number in college, number 40. He was, in all the years I was an assistant offensive line coach at Fresno State or Arizona or UNLV, best nose man ever to play against. That guy was awesome. He was everywhere.
Well, now he's bringing that mentality to Fresno State Athletics. And we'll hear from him about the department and some of the challenges facing him, some of the opportunities ahead of Bulldog Sports. But for you, Coach, I know you're always thinking about what's next with Bulldog football. And, you know, not just on the field, but off the field. What gets you fired up? What kind of potential do you see looking ahead for a program that's got back-to-back 10-win seasons and just won more games in a single season than the Dogs ever had before?
Well, they're getting great consistency out of Jeff. You know, having Jeff Tedford as a head coach, if we can keep him here for a long period of time, and hopefully the administration can keep backing the program financially, if those things all stay in place, I see great growth. You know, he lost a couple of coaches this year, and that's just part of it, but I think he's going to be able to add to his staff. They do a great job of finding coaches out there. It's always going to be a job, though, where you're going to have coaches coming through the door, because if you got good coaches, the big guys come and get them. But I think Jeff's got enough people out there that he knows. He's been in it long enough. I don't think. I know he does. He's always going to be able to replace those coaches. But that's the hardest part of the job. The hardest part is reestablishing your staff every year. Like 205 was my toughest year. To replace 5 coaches out of 9 is tough, you know, and it's very hard. You know, you bring in new coaches and you teach them what you want done. But, you know, you got to spend a lot of time teaching them the words to the song. You can't take it for granted they're going to know it on the first time through. So I know they'll
do a great
job.
And you know the words to a lot of songs.
Yeah, a lot of songs, a lot of songs. I had to teach the song many, many times. But, you know, I think we're in great hands. I really love our administration. I mean, we got people there that understand the importance of football. That is the porch light to the not only the university but the athletic department. And, you know, when football's doing well, everybody has a chance to do well. So now the big thing is you got to go out and you got to raise funds, and that's a tough part of the job. I had to do that for 15 years. There's two things you got to learn as a coach or as a salesman. You got to learn how to close, or you got to learn how to get closure. In other words, you got to be able to close the deal or get closure and move on to the next deal. And if we can do that and do a great job of it, which I really believe we will, I think the future is very bright for Fresno State Athletics.
And from an on-the-field perspective, we just heard from Bert Watts, the defensive coordinator, about, you know, what the defense might look like next year, who are some of the guys who will step up and replace those 3 stud linebackers who the Dogs lost. They also lost a senior quarterback from this county, by the way, from Dinuba in the northern part of Tulare County, who was a great leader, who didn't have the biggest arm. It wasn't the biggest personality, but was steady and really led this team well. I'm sure I'm not the first person to ask you what you see looking ahead at the quarterback position and how that might shake out here in the spring with that spring preview coming up April 13th.
Well, you know, when you go out to practice, of course, you see Garza taking or Reyna taking second-string reps, but the guy that catches my eye a lot is Comstock. I like ex-wrestlers from a toughness standpoint. You know, he was a heck of a wrestler in high school.
Yeah.
He... you know, he's just got that it factor about him. It gives you another runner. It gives you a strong arm. And I believe that he will have leadership ability that will be seen more through his actions than his words. So I'm really interested in looking at him as a quarterback.
Well, and we'll see him. Ben Wooldridge, Jorge Reyna, who was the backup.
They got a lot of them.
He's not afraid to run either.
Yeah, they got a lot of guys to choose from. I just, you know, you asked me what caught my eye. You can't tell right now. It's different when the bullets are live.
And they will be, to some extent, in the spring as they try to figure out a starter for the fall. The other name in that mix at quarterback is Hunter Raquet, the junior college transfer, who's got a pretty stinking big arm, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. You know, and once again, until it's live, you really don't know. When they know they're not getting hit, it's a whole different world. That's, I guess I probably took some grief for that. I never got a quarterback injured, but in the spring, I all got my level two scrimmages. And those guys would get launched.
One of them was here yesterday, Ryan Colbert.
Oh, yeah. Well, Ryan won the job, you know. That's one tough dude, Ryan Colbert. I love that guy. He was tough. And he'd run hard. He'd run really hard. So, you know, leadership is such a strong quality. He had great leadership, a lot like McMarion. McMarion was a great leader.
Two Valley guys who had
background.
Right?
You look at the quarterbacks that have been here over the years. Can you name one that's not from the Valley?
That was great.
Volek, Carr,
Barsotti. Tenniger.
Barsotti.
Trent was from Santa Cruz.
Yeah, that's not quite the Valley, but we'll call it the Valley.
That's where the Valley goes in the summer.
Yeah, that's where the Valley goes in the summer. But then you got Brandsetter from Turlock, and you got Colbert from down here at Central Valley Christian, and you got Derek Carr from Bakersfield Christian. Then it sort of stopped for a while. Then we got going again with what? Another Valley quarterback, McMarion.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Well, I do have to ask you one more thing, because the quarterback.
There's always one more thing with you.
Right? You want to stay here till about 5 o'clock tonight? We'll just keep yapping. So quarterback's one thing, but, you know, you've made a lot of your career because of your expertise with the offensive line. If you wanted to, you could be coaching O-line in the NFL right now. But you love the Valley. You love your family. You want to be here. I know you love working with us. I know that's what it's really about.
Yeah, the pay's about the same.
But offensive line, Fresno State next year, how big a difference maker can it be if Natane Muti is back healthy and as good or better as he was before?
The key is going to be who's going to play center. You know, they've had, the last 2 years, they've had outstanding centers. Guys that were the field general. You know, I'm really interested to see who Coach Grubb comes up with to be the center, because I think we're going to be set at tackles. Muti back in at guard. The right guard and the center position are the two that we really need to watch.
All right. We'll be watching in the spring. Coach, thanks for hanging out with us.
Always great seeing you, Paulie.
Anything else you want to say about the World Ag Expo, the Green V, or the potential of Fresno State?
For people that, if people didn't think that the idea of the Green V wasn't a good idea, just come down and check this out. Because if you want to talk about ag and all the things that have to do with ag, like equipment, I mean, the equipment is unbelievable. And as we push the Green V concept in building Fresno State football, you know, there's Peterbilt, there's John Deere, there's Kubota, there's all these different manufacturers that are part of ag. So there's the nut industry, there's the fruit industry, there's the cotton, there's the grape industry, there's the raisin industry. There's so many different industries to touch that, you know, that's the footprint of the Valley, and that's the footprint of our university and our football team.
Yep, and when they work together, you never know what might be possible. He's the one and only Pat Hill, the originator of that Green V. When we come back, Terry Toomey, the athletic director, joins us. If you have questions, use the hashtag AskAg on Twitter. Keep it here on 940 ESPN.
Live from the International Agri-Center in Tulare, California, it's the 52nd Annual World Ag Expo on 940 ESPN. Sponsored by E.M. Tharp, the transportation people, and Premier Valley Bank, local partners, limitless potential. And now, here is your host, Paul Leffler.
Hey, welcome back to Tulare and the World Ag Expo. And I'm getting some traffic updates from one of our bosses, former Bulldog Chris Pacheco. He's on the 99. There is an accident about 18 miles north of Tulare. So if you're on the southbound 99 heading to the World Ag Expo, be careful. Be ready to see the brake lights and stop. Might still be a little wet out there, too. So be careful on your way. This is a huge event. 2.5 million square feet of exhibition space. Over 1,500 folks showing off their ag products here, their ag equipment, their technology here at the World Ag Expo in Tulare, and Fresno State has been showing off some of its finest and brightest. You just heard from the one and only Pat Hill. If you're here at the World Ag Expo, find him, give him a hard time. you know, shake his hand, ask for an autograph. And if you're anywhere near Building C and where we are, the E.M. Tharp Incorporated spot with all the beautiful Peterbilts, you can come meet the athletic director of Fresno State, Terry Toomey. He joins us now. Terry, I'm guessing this is your first time to the World Ag Expo.
Well, this is my first time, and I tell you what, it is so great to be out here. I've never seen anything like this. It's amazing. It's so large, and I tell you what, you literally are, I don't know, I'm in awe of what I see out here.
Well, because I'm sure you expected something, and you expected something big, and you knew you'd see things maybe you hadn't seen before, but you still don't expect this, right?
That's right. It is. I mean, every piece of equipment you'd ever want to see, you see here at this expo. It's phenomenal.
And you grew up in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, yeah. So I've been up close and personal with a lot of equipment, so this is kind of fun for me.
Well, let me ask you right out of the gate. We've got about 30 minutes, and I'm sure some fans will have some questions for you. They can tweet them in with the hashtag AskAg. But we've got that giant green V behind us right here.
Right.
You probably heard about, saw, knew something about the green V before you came to the Valley and took this job. Maybe help me understand what your impression was before and what you've come to understand since becoming Fresno State's athletic director about the interaction with the school, with the ag industry, and how big of a factor that can be.
Well, you know, when I was growing up here as an undergrad up here in California and really hearing about the V, and really it really kind of took over for us under the leadership of Pat Hill. You know, and Pat, it's hard to follow Pat here on this radio because he's such a great, just a great man, and just a great individual, great bulldog. But his appreciation and love for the people of this valley and the ag industry and how he wanted to celebrate that partnership was what I always thought about when I thought about the V and how that partnership was so intertwined, how our schools of agriculture, our graduates come back after they finish that and come back and invest in this part of the country and in the valley here and in this industry. It was a marriage made in heaven, and that's the way I see it. The thing that I would like to do with Pat's help is to reintroduce that celebration and get us back to that point where not just this region of the Western region understands it, but the nation understands that V from a Fresno State perspective. So we want to kickstart that relationship back again in a celebration form.
Well, that brings up another question. You mentioned the national landscape and the impression that V made beyond a Bulldog logo, beyond the phenomenal alumni that have come from here and done great things in professional sports. You got to see one of them recently up in Linden when Aaron Judge launched his foundation.
Mm-hmm.
But since you took this job, friends that you've had from past jobs, from working in the NFL with a couple different organizations or in college athletics or wherever you've been, have you had people comment on the green V when they know that you're Fresno State's athletic director now?
They do. They you know, it's more inquisitive. They want to know exactly what it means. So it gives us an opportunity to celebrate it. For many of my former teammates who have called, they remember when Hayden Fry back at Iowa used to have that the America Needs Farmers on the side of their helmets. You know, uh-huh. He had the A&F on the side, and literally what that meant to that part of the world, to that region, to that state. And I literally say that same thing exists here in the valley and with Fresno State. And once I say that, everyone gets it. They understand it. And so what we're trying to do is we feel like we have our own legendary coach in Coach Tedford. And I feel as though we have our relationship with the ag community here. So right now we're gonna just continue to grow together and move this thing forward.
You know, you're hit from so many angles every day with a lot of mouths to feed. You know, we're here at the World Ag Expo. It's all about feeding mouths. But you have 21 different sports that you have to relate to and help and resource and keep an eye on to make sure everything is going correctly. There was an article in the paper this week about the Bulldog Foundation endowment and where it stands compared to the past and some of the challenges you're facing from a financial standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Some people see challenges and it weighs them down. Other people see challenges and they light up because it's an opportunity. How are you facing the current reality of Bulldog sports from a fundraising standpoint? And what are the things that you would say give you hope and enthusiasm for the future.
Well, I feel as though it only feels like it's an ominous task if you feel like you got to solve it all by yourself. If you feel like you're the person that is responsible for trying to solve all those ills and all those pieces, then it feels like it's overwhelming. But the blessing here is that you have so many individuals who can and will, if activated properly, help us meet that demand. I feel as though the piece that you mentioned, of course, for the foundation, of course, is scholarship. That's a large piece of the puzzle for us to try to figure out how to meet the scholarship need of our student-athletes. We have over 500 student-athletes, but only about 350 of them are on some sort of scholarship, athletic scholarship. So many of them are walk-ons and things of that nature. But that 350 is a pretty big chunk. So there's a financial component, but there's also the other component that you mentioned that really does add to the experience of a student, and that's their health and well-being. So being able to feed them and being able to make sure that they have the nutritional elements that allow them to grow and perform and represent this valley is vitally important. So I've mentioned two parts. Well, last time I checked, this valley has a ton of folks who can help you feed people.
Mm-hmm. And we kind of better at it than anybody else in the world.
Better at it than anyone in the whole wide world. And what we need to do is to try to figure out how to make that partnership and how to make that piece of the puzzle a reality and formulate those partnerships or find those individuals and make sure that they understand that we are looking for help and we are so appreciative for everything that they do. So we're trying to do that. That's something that we're looking to do as we move forward. And, of course, we have a great foundation staff. The Bulldog Foundation is an amazing group that tirelessly go out and try to find people who want to be a part and give to and invest in these young people who will in turn come back to your community and be your residents and leaders of the future. And that's a big part of the puzzle. And finding those partners is a fun task, believe it or not, because you get to talk to a lot of people. If you don't like people, then you may not want to be in athletics. we like people.
Well, there's a lot of people in Tulare this week. Over 100,000 people last year came to the World Ag Expo. I'm sure they're going to top that this year with 1,500 exhibitors and so many things to witness. And it's so much about the future, and we have this chance to talk about the future of Fresno State Athletics with the Director of Athletics, Terry Toomey. If you have a question for him, tweet it at us with the hashtag AskAg. We'll pass that along. You mentioned those guys coming back and being leaders, and that's what we've seen the last couple of days. I mean, I've had several alumni on with me who were great athletes at Fresno State who are now working in the ag industry, for example, but leading in the field that they're in. And speaking of leadership, 7:30 tonight at the Save Mart Center, Fresno State Boise State basketball. He was hired before you got here, and you didn't have the chance to go through the process and pick him out. But I'm guessing that when you're an athletic director and you come into a job and a guy's doing a job like that, you're saying, boy, that's great. I inherited something good, and when I do have to hire somebody, I want him to look like this guy. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but how pleased are you with the job Justin Hudson and his staff are doing in basketball?
Paul, you're so correct. I tell you what, I couldn't have picked a better guy. You know, so to be able to inherit a decision that was made properly and literally is the right guy for the job for us has been incredible. He's done so much work in terms of not only what we see on the court. We're winning games, and it's an exciting brand of basketball, and I think everyone can appreciate that. But, you know, I can't tell you the countless times when I'm on campus or I'm off campus, and I get comments from our people in our community that say, you know what, those guys are great. You know, they were so mannerable, or they were so wonderful, and they took the time to say hello to my kids, and all those different things that you would want from our young people, these guys are exemplary in that. So I have been blessed by having an opportunity, because we don't have problems, we have opportunities, an opportunity go right, and I didn't have to do anything but come in here and and smile and inherit the blessings of our coach. So it's been wonderful to have Hutt with us.
Well, maybe a lot of the folks here at the World Ag Expo will come on up to the Save Mart Center tonight. Tickets start at $15. Fresno State, Boise State, 7:30 tip. Coach Q, who you heard from earlier, who was my benefactor today with this delicious ribeye sandwich for the World Ag Expo. Thank you, Coach Q. He'll be with me tonight, 6:45, the tip-off show. And before we take the break here, Terry, maybe we'll have some questions on Twitter with that hashtag AskAg for you when we come back.
The 52nd Annual World Ag Expo, presented by E.M. Tharp, the transportation people, and Premier Valley Bank, local partners, limitless potential, continues on 940 ESPN. Once again, here's Paul Leffler.
You know, I don't know if it's the fact that those ribeye sandwiches here at the World Ag Expo are so big, or that we just have too many good people to talk to, but I'm still not finished with it. And maybe by 2 o'clock I will. I'll tell you, it's delicious, and if you've been here, you know it. Still to come at 1:30, we have the outstanding volleyball coach from Fresno State, Jonathan Winder, and one of his stars who's from right here in Tulare, Taylor Slover. She's finished her eligibility, but she's here at the World Ag Expo. You know, you never know who you're going to see. I saw the Springville Rodeo Princess walking by a few minutes ago, and we're going to hear from a former Bulldog at 145 who I think you're going to be excited to hear his voice. I'm excited to hear Terry Toomey's voice, but we got cut off there. I think our connection dropped in the weather. We're back with you now, and I was just asking Terry who his favorite basketball player was, and it was someone from his high school, Booker T. Washington High in Tulsa. I don't know if everybody heard your answer, though. Yep. If there's some Sacramento Kings fans, they're going to like it.
Yeah, so I had the honor of being in high school at the same time as what I call the guy who's the true definition of a power forward, Wayman Tisdale. And Wayman was a phenomenally gifted person, not only from a basketball perspective, but a great musician.
Right.
As we talked about, he's had a great jazz guitar career as well, and really did some great things. But as great of a person as he was in terms of his play, he was an awesome individual. Just wonderful, just as kind as he could be, and I miss him. He was a great friend, a great person, and he's left us a little early.
Yeah.
Before she's passed away, but really was amazing. So we had, in fact, as we were talking, his senior year in high school was the greatest year of basketball in Oklahoma history, and the fact that we had a sharpshooter from Enid, Oklahoma, named Mark Price.
Uh-huh.
He and his brother, Mark and Brett Price, were amazing sharpshooters, and of course he had a great career at Georgia Tech and was a great star in the NBA as well. And then a little bit lesser known but a great player as well was Steve Hale from Jinx, Oklahoma, who ended up playing for the University of North Carolina. He's a Tar Heel. So basketball was great there in Oklahoma during that time period.
Now, did you ever play for that Booker T. Washington team?
I wasn't good enough. I'll be the first to say. I tried to wrestle a little bit instead because, I was vertically challenged. But I will say this. A person who I used to get confused, they confused me with him, was Nolan Richardson's son was the point guard of that team. And Nolan Richardson's son, Nolan Jr., was he had amazing hops. I mean, he could jump out of the gym. So everybody says, hey, Terry, you know, you're a great basketball player, too. Well, no, that's a different guy. Wrong guy.
We've got, it's not a question, it's a comment for you on Twitter, I guess, with that hashtag AskAg. This is from Greg Lopez. He was listening. He heard you mention about the Green V and bringing that back to the forefront with the Fresno State fan base. He said, we should restart a new Red Wave fan guide. Give them insight where to go hang out with local Fresno State fans.
I love that. I love that idea.
Maybe different businesses or establishments.
Absolutely.
Could identify themselves that way.
You know what? Right. Did we used to, was that something we implemented back in the past? I'd love to see a copy of one if we did.
Well, maybe Greg can take care of that for you. Greg, if you're listening, now you're on the clock. one of the other questions, Terry, that people keep asking me, and you know, I know you've got a lot of things to handle. You've got basketball going, softball's going. Baseball starts Friday night. You get your first Bulldog baseball game this weekend.
Yeah, excited.
I'd be excited, too. They've got a really talented team this year. But a lot of people want to know about the Raiders, and they hear Tucson and Birmingham, and why not Fresno? And you've you know, been on record saying that you talked to the Raiders. They said it wasn't likely that Fresno would be the choice, but you can make a proposal if you like.
Right.
Has anything changed since those initial comments?
You know, at that time, Mark Bedain, who's the president of the Raiders, is a good friend, and he and I worked together back when I was at the 49ers. So I had a couple of conversations with Mark, and as it relates to the possibility of Fresno being a solution or a great partner, I should say,
for a year, and that's what we're talking about.
For a year, right? Yeah. And at that time, he appreciated the interest. He said it was something that was interesting. However, it wasn't as compelling. There were some other folks that he thought might be better suited. However, he did love a couple of components and the things that they truly appreciate there at the Raiders. They love tailgating. And I don't know of a college town or a college institution that tailgates better than the Bulldogs do in terms of, you know, really understanding how to activate community and getting them engaged. So he did like that. So with this new iteration where there's a possibility, I think it's time for us to kind of possibly pick up the phone again and see if there's another opportunity there. I believe that it would be such a great marriage. If it's logistically possible. Now I'm speaking out of turn because there is one very important person that would have a say in that, and his name happens to be Jeff Tedford. So I'd like to get his insights as my partner as we try to do things during the football season. But with that being said, I think it is time to kind of see if we can talk again.
All right, and I appreciate your candor on that. And you say you'd have to talk to Coach Tedford. I guess. To make that clear to people, yes, it sounds great, and the idea of Fresno and the Valley, I mean, you see the Valley's potential right here at the World Ag Expo. The idea of having these kind of crowds in Bulldog Stadium on national TV on a Sunday for 1 year with the Raiders, and what could that mean? Is it an audition for Fresno State to be a big league city? Is there money that the Raiders would kick in to help renovate Bulldog Stadium? Could they come back for exhibition games in the future? There's a lot of those questions, but none of it matters if it's going to set the program back in some way. And those are the things we don't think about and probably don't see, but when you say you'd have to talk to Coach Tedford, maybe he has an eye on some of those concerns that aren't obvious to us?
That's exactly right. You would never want to cannibalize the student-athlete experience of our students for this grandiose opportunity. Now, there's ways to do it in concert, and I think all those elements and all those opportunities that you mentioned prior to that question were all wonderful, and they're all things that you would think about. The celebration of the city, the ability to showcase the city, the ability to showcase our institution, all those things are on the table and would be wonderful. But also, I would never want to be a negative towards our students and the commitment that we're making towards them. So, and I don't think we'd ever do that. We're too conscientious, and we put that too much at the forefront for that to happen. But it is a consideration along with Coach Tedford, I kind of think there's a guy by the name of President Castro that that may need to have to weigh in on some of these questions. So, but in actuality, I do believe that everyone that I just mentioned there would understand the gravity of an opportunity like that and
sure.
would fully vet it before we go down that path. But no one can argue with the fact that, man, wouldn't it be great to see those crowds and see those people and see pro football at Bulldog Stadium. It would be a lot of fun.
It would be fun to see that quarterback of theirs again, too. I mean,
yeah.
He was all right in Bulldog Stadium.
Yeah, you know what? It would. You know what? I tell you what. If he had a couple of more years of eligibility, I'd love for him to come back.
Well, and you mentioned Dr. Castro, and he's going to be with us tomorrow from 12:30 to 1. So maybe I'll ask him about it. Maybe he'll have an updated perspective on that as well. We've got a few more minutes, Coach, before we go into volleyball mode with Coach Winder and Taylor Slovey, Taylor Slover, to Larry's Finest here at the World Ag Expo. I was just checking to see if there are more Twitter questions with that hashtag AskAg.
And may I add, you're going to bring Taylor on. Great outside hitter. I loved watching her this year.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have to always say now when we introduce her, Mountain West.
Right.
Performer,
mm-hmm.
Taylor Slover. I mean that and team captain. She was amazing. She was a wonderful addition here for us. And the way those women pulled it together and made us so proud. Probably one of the greatest one-year turnarounds in Mountain West history.
It was incredible. I don't think anyone could have expected it. And, it's amazing how we saw that in football.
Yep.
And we saw that in volleyball.
Yep.
We're seeing great success from a first-year coach in basketball.
Yep.
And baseball starts Friday night with a coach who's won a national championship and has a team that can contend for the postseason this year. Just hearing you say that and quoting some of Taylor's credentials, when you have 21 sports, how close can you really get to all of them at the same time? And how do you make sure that you know who these student-athletes are, what they're doing, why it matters, and not be all in with one team but not in the other 20?
Well, you do serve 500 athletes. That's the first thing that we think about when we take on this task. And the great thing about being in an athletic department is you don't have to, as I said before, you don't have to do it alone. I have an amazing administration. I have, in fact, one of them here is here right now, Tim Collins. He's here with me right now. But they all are, representatives of the administration. So when I'm not there, we have administration at every event, and they are making sure that these young people know that we are here to invest in every aspect of their development. When I'm not there, believe me, I get a report from each one of my lieutenants telling me what's going on. And Terry, you really need to take some time to go and congratulate that person. They might have just set a school record. It means a lot to our students to understand that when they go out on the mat, if there's wrestling, or when they go out on the field, or when they're running on the track, that they're not alone. They're representing the institution, representing this administration, and ultimately representing this valley.
Yeah, we have a couple minutes left here, and I want to give you the chance to say anything you want to say to the Red Wave, who's listening as you're here at the World Ag Expo, and maybe ways that they can help you in the efforts we've been talking about. But before we get to that, I almost forgot to bring this up. I wasn't able to be there because I was traveling with basketball, but just a couple weeks ago, Aaron Judge and his family launched the All Rise Foundation. They're going to do such great things for young people in his hometown of Linden and eventually beyond, starting out with 25 kids right there in Linden. But you had a chance to make a special presentation to him there at that function. Why don't you tell everybody what that was?
I did. It was a lot of fun. First and foremost, I don't think I've ever been towered by a baseball player. With Mr. Judge, I mean, he is, and as large of in stature as he is, I tell you what, in stature, he's such an amazing person, and he has such a big heart. So the fact that he's coming back to his hometown and going to invest in young people there and allowed us to be a part of it was truly special. And we were able to give him something that he's probably earned many, many times over, and that was one of his letters. We gave him a framed letter of his performance as a bulldog, which was kind of neat because he was appreciative of it. But more important, we also were able to let him don the bulldog cap one more time. I tell you what, he looks so good in it. That's another one I'd like for some eligibility to come back.
In about three or four different sports.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He'd be a great tight end.
And he had Oklahoma, Notre Dame, all those schools going after him.
I could see that. Yeah. I could see that. But as you led to, I think the thing I would say about our presence here in the Valley, and I would love everyone here in the Valley to know that Fresno State is a partner in everything that you do, and we want to be a partner with you. So as opportunities arise, or you think there's a way in which we can showcase the Valley and showcase all the talented individuals here, we'd love for those opportunities to come. We do that already in our form in terms of games and things of that nature, and we love for the Valley and the Valley participants to participate more.
All right, there you have it. That's an invitation. If you're out there listening and you didn't think they cared or you didn't think they wanted to hear from you, Terry just said it pretty clearly. He does. So take him up on the offer. Maybe find him at the basketball game tonight, 7:30, Fresno State, Boise State. And we have more from the World Ag Expo after this. Terry, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you. Always a pleasure, my man.
All right, Terry Toomey, Fresno State Athletic Director. We're heading to volleyball. There's no court out here. You can put it up. It's not beach sand, but it's, tree bark. You can play volleyball on this. We'll talk some volleyball with the coach and one of his stars from right here in Tulare right after this on 940 ESPN.
The 52nd Annual World Ag Expo, presented by E.M. Tharp, the transportation people, and Premier Valley Bank, local partners, limitless potential, continues on 940 ESPN. Once again, here's Paul Leffler.
back here at the World Ag Expo. This day is just flying by. Unless you're on the 99, be safe. Major accident southbound just north of Tulare. It's really slowed things up. So be careful going through there. But I'm glad that these folks made it here. We get to talk a little Bulldog volleyball with Coach Jonathan Winder and his all-Mountain West senior, Taylor Slover, who's from Tulare. So, Taylor, I'm guessing this is not your first World Ag Expo.
Oh, for sure not. I've been here plenty of times when I was a kid. I have many memories here.
Well, let's hear some of them. What do you look forward to when you know that the World Ag Expo is coming around the corner?
Well, I like it better when it's rainy because when I was a kid, I got to jump in puddles, and my dad was always herding us everywhere. I remember riding in wagons. He'd pull us around. My favorite, though, is the steak sandwiches from the Sundell booth.
Uh-huh.
We eat those every year. I always remember getting a bunch of goodies in my bag. As a kid, you're always like, what can I get? A pen, a pencil, a little card, whatever it is. So, yeah, I always get my picture taken in a tractor, you know.
Yeah.
Kid things.
Have you driven the tractors across the way here yesterday?
No, I was actually so surprised. I was like, I've never seen people drive tractors here. And it's gotten bigger since I was a kid, too. So it's pretty crazy. I watched a tractor, like, go by itself, though, without anyone driving it.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what they call them, if there's a word for it.
They have a few different words for it, yeah. That one over there was the Gus, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, the
G-U-S-S? Yeah.
It was crazy.
It doesn't look like a tractor, though.
No.
Looks like a tank, right?
I've never seen a tractor like that before in my life, yeah.
Aren't you waiting for one of the Avengers to jump out of there?
Literally, I'm like, what is this? It's crazy. They just click a button and it does its job. I'm like, where's the operator? Where's the trailer, you know?
We're talking to Taylor Slover and her coach, Jonathan Winder, from the Fresno State volleyball team. Got another 10 minutes or so with them. Then one more mystery guest on the phone before we wrap up day two of the World Ag Expo. We're here tomorrow as well. President Joseph Castro among our guests tomorrow. If you have questions for any of them, you can use the hashtag AskAg on Twitter. So, Coach Winder, this is the first time I've had a chance to meet you, but I certainly admire your work from afar. And I think, like a lot of people in the Valley, we were just blown away by the success you had this year. So such an improvement from the last couple of years. And I'm sure you've been asked this a lot. How'd you do that? What made that quick turnaround to 22 wins in your first year in the program?
Yeah, it was a lot of things. Certainly it was not one thing. I think what we kind of focused on in the beginning was just to play volleyball, to eliminate a lot of things, keep things really, really simple, get some discipline on the court, teach some basic fundamentals at a really good level, and do a few things really, really, really well, and try to be the best in the conference at a couple things, and trust and believe and kind of build relationships with one another. And, I think probably the catalyst to me was the willingness of the girls to learn, to want to be good, to want to do something, to believe that we could be really good and that we could achieve something and do something and kind of turn the tide of the program, change the history of the program kind of deal.
Taylor, how did you experience that? What was the most important thing Coach Winder did when he took over that you think helped you guys accomplish what you were able to accomplish?
I think the biggest thing that he said was just keeping it simple and keeping it like volleyball based. You know, we had kind of been used to just being micromanaged a lot outside, not when we weren't on the court. And so to just be like free, like even with traveling and just meetings and stuff, like we felt very free, like we weren't being judged. It was very like non-stress around him. And so it was just good that he brought that kind of culture so that we could be free to play. You know, and if we made a mistake, we knew that it wasn't going to be some big ordeal, like we were going to get yelled at or we were going to run, or it was like very learning, you know. He was just he taught us so well, you know. Like we were never scared to make mistakes, I guess is what I'm saying. And having that culture is very important, you know.
We're seeing something similar with the men's basketball program right now. Yeah. They play tonight, by the way, 7:30 against Boise State. I was just looking at your shirt there, Taylor. It says one focus, one team, one goal. I guess that kind of speaks to what you're just talking about.
Yeah, kind of.
That's all athletics?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I got this from, I don't know. The athletic guy just gave it to me. It wasn't even like volleyball specific. Yeah. But
it works, right?
Yeah, it's great. Bulldog.
And you grew up here.
Yeah.
We talked about your World Ag Expo memories, and here's what's left of one of those ribeye sandwiches from the Sundale booth right now.
Yep.
We had Devin Nunes on yesterday. His daughters are working at the Sundale booth here this week. So you're from here. You knew Bulldog Sports. You knew the Green V. You knew all of that. For you, Coach Winder, I know you had some connections to our community, but what was it about Fresno State and that opportunity that made you leave what you were doing, which was a pretty good spot, to come here and take over this program?
I think for the thing that's always stood out to me, so my wife is from Fresno, and my best friend growing up was, or sorry, from college was also from Fresno. And so going to college and then all of a sudden two people that I connected a ton with, became really, really close with, were both from this town. And I think for me what stood out is just the people. It's a people focused community, you know, good people serving good people, just trying to be humble, hardworking, and do the best you can, and you're kind of pulling for one another. And so that's where I really like connected as an individual in that, as well as the belief in the what's possible at Fresno State. I think the ceiling is really high, you know, and so I saw the volleyball program as a place with tremendous potential because of the talent in the area, the facilities, the academic support, athletic support, you know, the community support, all those things. That's what you look for, I think, as a coach, is, hey, I can build something here. I think we can turn this thing and, you know, turn something that was maybe a little bit dormant into a beast.
That's real. Like how yeah. Like a lot of people in this area, they don't want to go to Fresno State because it's like, oh, I want to get out of the valley. I want to go experience something, you know, go somewhere else. But, like, we have so much talent here. If we could have these coaches recruit more locally, like, he's right. Like, we could build, or they could, I don't know. Like, it would be crazy. Like, getting some of this local talent to stay local is all I'm saying.
Right?
Like, it's very important, I think, too.
And you can still say we. I know you're going to be part of that program for a long, long time. I know the time goes by so quickly, guys. I don't want to cut you short. And I want to make sure I give you a chance to tell our listeners what that green V means to you. Because if you don't know what it is, maybe it doesn't mean anything. But I'm pretty sure you both know what it is. So what does it mean to you? What does it represent and signify? And how is it relevant to what you're doing in the volleyball program?
Yeah. Taylor's probably got a long story to it because she's grown. She's been a part of it and grown in it. And so for me, if you know, being a part of the Valley is huge. And it's something that we talk about with our team. It's what we've modeled our values after, you know, with kind of the core values of our program. One of them is industriousness, just this humble, hardworking, disciplined, gritty kind of deal. And that's a reflection of the community. And it's a core value because it's who the community is. I didn't want to impose something else, that this is who we are, and we're recruiting and we're developing individuals to come in and then to give back and to be a part of the community that they naturally are connecting with over the course of those 4 years, right? And so I think that's something that's really stuck out to me and I've really identified with and wanted to make sure that that's a big part of our volleyball program, is this disciplined, hardworking, humble, this industriousness that you see out here, just people that are working hard on the field all day. And there's so much that we can learn from our community in that regard.
Well, it showed in a major way in your first year, 22 wins. Taylor, how about you?
Dang, Winder hit that pretty good. I think that was pretty accurate.
Well, it's all in the set, right? I gave him a good set. That's why I hit it. No, I'm just teasing.
No, go ahead. For real. No, but seriously, he's right. And, like, I think, too, part of it is, like, everything he said with our industriousness and just hard work ethic and humble. And but even, too, like, just the pride of it, like, having that V on your jersey, like, your pride that you come from the Valley, you know? And it's, like, just representing this area, you know? It's like you go somewhere else, you're not going to have that V to – you're not going to get to represent it. It doesn't mean anything. But when you stay local and you get to it, it's really – it means – you know what I mean? It's just that pride. And even just teaching our new recruits that pride and of what he's saying. And, like, I remember we went on a – like a team-type building thing to, like, one of the grape orchards – or not orchard – vineyards.
Vineyards, yeah.
A grape vineyard out – where did we go?
It was at Rockin' S Ranch with
so
Rick and
awesome.
Annie Schultz, who
all
are
right.
our former Bulldogs volleyball
so
football.
Awesome.
And, yeah, they run this great ranch, Rockin' S Ranch, out in
all kinds of stuff. We learned all kinds of stuff. And I just thought it was cool that all of these girls that are from other states got to see what they're representing, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
that is what they're representing when they walk onto the court type thing. So I thought that was cool. But, yeah.
Taylor, what's next for you? You're done playing volleyball for the Bulldogs. So what are you going to do
know.
Now?
Well, I'm hoping to continue playing probably somewhere in Europe next year, next season, August, September, October it starts or something like that. So I'm hoping not to be done playing altogether. I'll be done for Fresno State, but I hope to keep playing. I mean, I'm healthy, I'm young, why not, you know? I love the sport still, I'm not tired of it, so I'm hoping to be in a gym somewhere next spring or next fall. So,
good luck. And, Coach, last thing for you, what should we look forward to next season, year two, if you're able to get to 22 wins and almost win a conference championship this year? Where's the bar set for you next year?
Yeah, the standard doesn't change. The standard is the standard, right? Uh-huh. So I think for us it's always to do the best that we possibly can do, and I think that our best will have us in the mix again next year and every year hereafter. That's, I don't like losing. I also don't love setting expectations, but I think expectations can also raise, kind of the performance and that's required. And so I'm okay with them going up a little bit higher, and certainly continuing that the standard is to compete to win our conference every year and play in the NCAA tournament and make the community really proud of the volleyball that we have here.
And I think, too, can I say one more thing?
Sure. It's your hometown.
The two biggest things that he always preached to us that I always, I thought I really bought into was that we should be the best, the fastest learning team in the conference and the best prepared team in the conference. Those two things are always, if we can do those, if you lose at the end of the day, you lose, I guess, but that loss isn't a loss. It's an opportunity to learn. That's what he always used to tell us. So I always took that we didn't lose today. We were just learning, We made a mistake here, and we just want to fix it so that down the road in the conference championship, whatever, you don't make that mistake type thing.
Well, that's something you can control. So there you go. Well, it's time to hit a break, but thank you both for being here. I hope there are a lot of people in the Save Mart Center watching your team next year.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Taylor Slover from Tulare and her coach, Jonathan Winder, here at the World Ag Expo. Up next, a very special guest, a name you know if you're a Bulldog fan who's doing pretty big things in the professional ranks. Who is it? We're going to find out when we come back on the Home of the Dogs, 940 ESPN.
The 52nd Annual World Ag Expo, presented by E.M. Tharp, the transportation people, and Premier Valley Bank, local partners, limitless potential, continues on 940 ESPN. Once again, here's Paul Leffler.
Wow, wow, wow. The time just flies by when you have so many incredible people to hang out with here at the World Ag Expo, and they're here from all over the globe. Not just the Valley, not just California, not just the U.S., but all over the world. And you know what's been incredible? We've been on the air for almost 3 hours. It hasn't rained a drop. Those forecasts weren't exactly nailed down today, so we're just thankful for that great weather, thankful for all the incredible people. And I do want to remind you of all the great folks we have coming up tomorrow. Mark Q. Jones is going to be back, starting us off to recap the basketball game tonight. That's a 7:30 tip at the Save Mart Center, Fresno State against Boise State. We're going to have Casey Tharp join us. I've been telling you, we're in the E.M. Tharp, the transportation people booth, right next to the Bulldog Big Rig that carries Fresno State's football equipment all over the country. You can take a picture with that. Casey's going to join us tomorrow, tell us a little bit more about their business and also how it interfaces with Fresno State and the athletic department. I'm going to have some high school students from my hometown come and tell us what they've done to support our veterans in Central Valley Honor Flight. By the way, we're still taking donations. We had a high school student on yesterday, and that was the inspiration. We'll keep taking donations for Central Valley Honor Flight through tomorrow, 11 to 2, if you would like to contribute there. Just ran into some folks, our friends from AgNet West. They're going to come and tell us some of the highlights of the World Ag Expo. The leader of NASA was here as one of the speakers and had some pretty impressive things to say. Tomorrow we'll also have Steve Malanka Wilson from My Job Depends On happening with that movement. And you know Steve is a big part of the Fresno State Quarterback Club as well. At 12:30 tomorrow, Dr. Joseph Castro is going to be our guest. So if you have questions about Fresno State, whether it be athletics or otherwise, you can tweet them to us tomorrow with that hashtag AskAg. We'll take a few minutes to talk about Fresno State's ag program, the Jordan College of Agriculture. Dr. Steve Rocca and Michelle Perez will be here to tell us that. Chris Tomlinson, one of my all-time favorite Diamond Dogs from right here in Tulare County, Golden West High in Visalia, that lefty on the Bulldogs championship team, the underdogs to wonder dogs. He's working in the ag business now. He's going to spend some time with us tomorrow afternoon. So will Don Pereira from Ultra Grow Plant Food. He'll be joined by one of his partners, Bill Vogt, in that Ultra Grow operation, and Don's been a big part of supporting Fresno State through the Ag One Foundation as well. And we started our 3 days here in Tulare with Tulare's own Devin Nunes on the phone from Washington. We're going to wrap up tomorrow in our last segment with Congressman Jim Costa, who's on the Ag Committee in the House of Representatives. So a lot to look forward to, a lot to be thankful for today. I do want to remind you that when we finish here in a couple minutes, we'll have Tony Diodato, Sportsline of the Bulldog Hour from 2 to 3. From 3 to 6 tonight, it's Christopher Gabriel, the CGP, and then Bulldog Basketball tonight. 6:45, the tip-off show, 7:30, that tip against Boise State. A big game for the Bulldogs, who are tied for second in the league at 8-3, and want to keep pace with Nevada on top of the conference. Can get a season sweep over the Broncos if they win tonight, since they won on the road in Boise already this season. So hope we'll see you there tonight at the Save Mart Center. I don't want to forget to thank our whole 940 ESPN crew that's been working so hard today. They set up the tents in case it rained. That was a lot of work. Vivian and Pat out here at the World Ag Expo. We had Eric and John and Kevin helping out as well. And you hear me on the radio, but there are a bunch of people behind the scenes who are making it possible for our voices to be heard. So thanks to all of them. Thanks to Pat Hill, Terry Toomey, Bert Watts, Linda Garza, Tom Mendoza, his brother Tim, the one and only Mark Q. Jones. They were our guests today, Jonathan Winder and Taylor Slover, you just heard. And we were trying to connect on the phone with a Bulldog I was sure you wanted to hear from, but I think he's been held up, and we might have to squeeze him in tomorrow with that whole other lineup of guests I was just talking about, so we'll do our best to do that. Again, I can't say this enough, that our ability to be here and enjoy this great ribeye sandwich from the World Ag Expo and bring you 3 days of programming, facilitated by E.M. Tharp, the transportation people, and by Premier Valley Bank, local partners, limitless potential. Without sponsors like that, we're not here, we're not on the air. As for that Bulldog basketball game tonight, Fresno State 8-3 in the Mountain West, Boise State 6-5, a couple games behind them, so you can tell how big that game is. A win for the Dogs virtually ensures that the Broncos would not be able to catch them in the standings. Fresno State would have a 3-game edge over Boise State and the tiebreaker. So a lot riding on that battle tonight at 7:30. Coach Hudson's team, if you haven't seen them yet, so much fun to watch. 17-6 overall, shooting the three like nobody's business. A double-double machine with Nate Grimes inside. And I'll say that again, if you haven't seen them in person before, be there tonight, 7:30. Tickets start at just $15. Hey, that's the same price to get into the World Ag Expo if you want to come down and join us tomorrow. I've told you how good the food is, and you smell the tri-tip, like, seriously, all day long. I'm sure you saw my picture on Twitter of about 30 tri-tips on one grill, and that's probably not even the biggest grill here at the World Ag Expo. Do be careful if you're coming down. A big accident on the 99 today, and we're certainly hoping that you don't have anything like that to deal with tomorrow. We're just about out of time because Tony Diodato is coming right around the corner. But again, thanks to all of our guests. If you want to catch up with them, go out to their games. Go see Linda Garza's softball team when it opens March the 7th. Natalie Benson's water polo team when they host the Golden Coast Conference Championships in April. Go see Coach Winder and that volleyball team next fall. And one thing I'm really excited about this week, I can't think about it too much yet because we got basketball tonight, another day of this World Ag Expo tomorrow, but come Friday night, it's baseball season, and the Diamond Dogs are going to have a really exciting season with the talent they have on the mound, in the field, at the plate. I didn't get a chance to talk to Tom Mendoza too much about that today because we were talking about everything else, but Friday night, 6:05, is that baseball season opener at Pete Biden Field at Bob Bennett Stadium. They'll play 4 games this weekend against Utah Valley, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. It's a holiday Monday, so a 2:05 matinee on Monday as well. And, of course, if some rain gets in the mix, maybe they'll have a doubleheader one of those days. But I'll be out at the yard. Would love to see you there as well. And I'd really love to see you tomorrow on our final day from the World Ag Expo. Bring your Valentine. Come meet President Joseph Castro. He'll be here tomorrow at our booth from 12:30 to 1. That's it from Tulare today. Thanks so much for spending these 3 hours with us. Tony D, Sportsline, straight ahead with CGP to follow. See you at the Save Mart Center tonight. Paul Leffler saying adios from Tulare and the World Ag Expo on the home of the Bulldogs, 940 ESPN.